Senator Larry Craig was arrested as part of a sex sting in the men's room, and he pleaded guilty a few weeks ago to disorderly conduct and kept quiet about it.
I chose to plead guilty to a lesser charge in hopes of making it go away. I did not seek any counsel, either from an attorney, staff, friends, or family. That was a mistake.
A political mistake, evidently. Fellow Senate Republican leaders are calling for an ethics investigation. Larry Jacobs at the Center for the Study of Politics at the University of Minnesota.
You can imagine that some of his constituents might not be in a forgiving mood, particularly for this sort of behavior. It's not as if, you know, he didn't see a traffic light or something.
Former astronaut Lisa Nowak's lawyer says she'll plead temporary insanity when she went after another woman in a love triangle.
This defense means that Nowak's attorneys are signaling that they are going to focus more on her intentions and not necessarily upon denying that she did what prosecutors say that she did. Now, that's a strategy that's likely to help her gain a lower sentence, even if she is ultimately convicted.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. Fewer people are living in poverty, but of those who do, more are children.
The Census Bureau says 35.5 million Americans were living in poverty last year. That may sound surprisingly large, but it's actually an improvement over 2005. This is the first major decline in the number of poor people since President Bush took office. Why the reduction in the number of poor? A low unemployment rate was a big factor. More people found jobs.
CBS's Sam Litzinger is in Washington. On Wall Street, bummer of the day, the Dow fell 280 points. NASDAQ lost 60. Experts say blame it mostly on continued worries over slumping home sales and the mortgage problems. Fighting between Shiite militias, rivals for Shiite power, has led left at least 50 people dead south of Baghdad. Happened during a major religious festival. CBS News military analyst Mike Lyons.
This is an example of poor planning by the Iraqi government to ensure the safety of citizens where they know are gathering to celebrate a religious holiday, where they could have expected to have some kind of level of violence based on what's happened in the past.
On the subject of Iraq, President Bush spoke today to the American Legion in Reno, Nevada.
The momentum is now on our side. The surge is seizing the initiative from the enemy.
And he said the U.S. will not abandon Iraq when it needs help the most. The father-in-law of singer Amy Winehouse.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no.
Well, he has a request of her fans. He said she needs help for her drug addiction, wants her to go to rehab, like the song says, but she won't. So Giles Fielder Civil says fans ought to stop buying Amy Winehouse's records to show they care and to force her to get a little help. This is CBS News.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity again, and if you're hearing my voice, that can mean only one thing. It's Honda clearance time. So, say it with me. Lucky you, because that means it's your chance to pick an Accord, a Civic, an Odyssey, or any other Honda you want for a deal that's very sweet. And even though this is summertime, you might want to put a little spring in your step, because I don't hang around forever. Hey, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. The 2007 Honda clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm knocking. Clearance ends September 3rd.
You've reached Pearson Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearson, in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Negligent homicide, the case against nursing home operators who allegedly left patients to die to Katrina's floods. CBS's Cammie McCormick says the governor took the stand today.
Governor Blanco criticized FEMA in her testimony and talked of many missteps. She said nursing homes were evacuated in the next hurricane, Rita, which struck just after Katrina. But even in Katrina, she said, I thought we were doing everything we could. While much of this trial has focused on the government's failures, it is the nursing home owners, Sal and Mabel Mangano, who could go to prison for the deaths of 35 of their patients who died when the levees broke and the facility flooded.
New York City has a message for the citizenry. We realize how nice a public water fountain feels on a hot summer day, but it really is not a filtered, treated pool. More like your bathtub, and sharing your toe jam germs with everyone else is probably not a good idea. Plus, it's a health violation, so please stop or cops may write you a $50 ticket. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Can you guess where's Michelin Man? He's heading off-road to the daunting River of No Return. Fortunately, Michelin Man will return because he has Michelin's new LTX AT2 tires with class-leading off-road traction and smooth on-road comfort. For more on LTX AT2 tires and Michelin Man's whereabouts, visit michelinman.com/guesswhere. Plus, enter to win a Via Michelin GPS.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Claim based on internal Michelin off-road evaluation versus select competition. No purchase necessary. See website for claim and promotion details.
It's your walls and your ideas, your kitchen and your creativity, your garage and your vision. It's your home, from the small jobs that renew to more ambitious ideas that transform. At Ace Hardware, we're here to help you.
Come to your neighborhood Ace and start your project now for paint, plumbing, home organization, serious hardware, and great gadgets. Plus, a team of Ace folks to help you get just what you need to make your home beautiful.
Ace is your place with everything for your home, plus expert advice and solutions that work for you. Ace, the helpful place.
And it's KRXA 540. We're about to join Peter B. Collins. I want to thank everyone for listening to us. Again, KRXA, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, and, of course, Carmel Valley. Here's Peter B.
Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. It's hot on the left coast, but we're going to be chilling today. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to go live to the Arctic Ocean, where Harper's Magazine journalist Mackenzie Funk will join us. Yeah, actually live from the Arctic Circle. Also on today's program, Ray McGovern returns. He served at the Central Intelligence Agency. We'll get his thoughts on the CIA Inspector General's report about the failures prior to 9/11. Also going to talk about rumblings he hears about potential attacks on Iran. Elizabeth de la Vega, former U.S. attorney in Northern California, will join us a little bit later on in the program today. We'll get her reaction to the Gonzalez resignation and what it's going to take to fix the damage he's done to the Justice Department. Also on today's program, Dr. Russ Rumberger from Santa Barbara checks in. He's just published a new report about high school dropouts in California. It costs us about $50 billion a year. He'll explain. Also, John Laird, the Democratic Assembly member from Santa Cruz, will join us. He's going to talk about a resolution that passed the Assembly today, which would put a ballot measure on during the presidential primary next February, allowing voters to call for U.S. removal, withdrawal from Iraq. And John Laird also chairs the Budget Committee. We'll get his take on the budget that was recently enacted and the blue pencil cuts made by Governor Schwarzenegger. Also, during the free speech zone today, Bree Walker will check in. She's the Air America talk show host from Los Angeles. She was in San Diego Monday morning for a protest that drew more than 500 people out there at 7 o'clock in the morning. The protest over a potential format change there at Progressive Talk KLSD in San Diego. We'll get the lowdown on that and try to keep the pressure on to save that station coming up a little bit later on. But first, let's talk about climate change and global warming. We've got firsthand evidence coming your way.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like hairspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming a spooky little thing called global warming. Fluorofluorocarbon.
And let's go to the northernmost reaches. And I'm not sure if Mackenzie Funk is still within the confines of the U.S. border, but he is in the Arctic Ocean on an icebreaker, and we're going to talk with him about a powerful article in the brand new issue of Harper's Magazine that he wrote. Mackenzie, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. And give us a scene setter. What's the temperature? What's your approximate location? And whose territory are you currently steaming in?
Well, I'll start from the bottom. It's a good question about whose territory we're in. We're right now mapping. This is a mapping mission on the U.S. Coast Guard Cutter Healy, we're basically mapping the 2,500-meter contour, which is 2,500 meters below the sea, to determine exactly where the future U.S. boundary will be if we ratify this convention that allows us to claim part of the Arctic. So we're perhaps right on the border. We're very close to it, and that's at 78 degrees north, pretty much due north of Alaska, a little bit east of Barrow, northeast, and up. And it's foggy out right now. It's been, for most of the 10 days we've been on board, it's been foggy and very little sun. I think it's all the fog is forming as the ice melts. It is not completely open water. We've been hitting big patches of open water today. But at the moment I'm looking at a mix of open water and then big chunks of ice. Everything's sort of some blue, some white, and a lot of gray.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mackenzie Funk, the article called Cold Rush that you wrote for the current issue of Harper's Magazine is fascinating. But I do have to ask you a tough question right at the start here. Are you a double agent? Are you, working for Canada and the United States at the same time?
Well, I guess that would put me at, they've been accusing me of being a Russian agent on this one as I've been studying some Russian language on the Rosetta Stone, since there's not much to do on the boat. I've got Rosetta Stone software on my computer and I'm studying Russian. So that's been the accusation lately, especially after the flag planning exercise the Russians did. So far they haven't sniffed me out as a Canadian, and I've come from pretty close, though. So
I see.
True.
Now, Mackenzie, give our listeners a sketch of what is underway, because with global warming, the polar ice cap is melting for at least part of the year. And this raises a couple of very interesting questions, and we're trying to deal with them through a new Law of the Sea treaty. But the questions are, when the ice melts, is the channel that is created international waters? And number two, when it's possible to exploit this part of the globe for natural resources, most notably oil, whose is it, and are there going to be struggles over sovereignty issues? We have claims from Russia, from Canada, from Denmark, and from the U.S. of A.
Yeah, and the gist of it is that, unlike Antarctica, which has been governed by a treaty that comes up for renewal every, I'm not sure how often, but it comes up and gets renewed every time, the Arctic has no real treaty governing it. There's no land underneath. It's all this floating ice cap, and as the ice cap melts away, as we're seeing this year in particular, it's, as you may have heard in the news reports of about a week ago, we were on pace for a record-breaking low ice year, and it's cooled down a little bit, at least in this part of the Arctic, so it may not be quite as horrific as it could have been, but it's still looking to be the lowest ice coverage ever, and that's been a trend for at least 5 years, that is to say, record-breaking summer after summer after summer. I think last year was a little bit more ice coverage than 2005, but here in 2007 it's just as bad. So the fight for resources is in part because the Arctic is becoming warmer and more open, and it's also driven by other things, such as this Law of the Sea Convention, which slowly nations have been ratifying, in part due to climate change, in part because of other seemingly beneficial things in the law. And the other driver, of course, is the price of oil and the difficulty of extracting oil from places that are increasingly politically imbalanced. Obviously, Iraq is a good example, but even take Nigeria or Venezuela, and a stable, albeit cold, environment such as the Arctic is looking really good. So all this gets wrapped up into what could be a seemingly easy way to partition it, the Law of the Sea, which is a treaty that's been around since the 70s. And was written in large part U.S. negotiators, of course. Typically, we decided not to ratify it once all was said and done, concerns about it being a giveaway of power to the U.N. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of momentum to do this.
And the Canadians have gotten fairly aggressive. Your article describes an interesting set of maneuvers where you basically went along with this Canadian Naval and Coast Guard team and planted some stakes and made some claims. Describe what it was like to go ashore on Devon Island to set up Observation Post 1.
Well, OP1, as we we called it, was, you know, and I should say that Devon Island is around, I should say, 74 degrees north, very close to Greenland in the Canadian archipelago, new territory of Nunavut. And I knew it only because they did a series of experiments. NASA and others did Mars on Earth experiments where they would take what would be the equivalent of a Mars lander and pretend they were living on Mars. That was because the terrain and weather is about as close as we can get to Mars on this planet. And it was, so obviously a very barren place, not much life whatsoever. Our getting there involved climbing down a rope ladder from this naval frigate we were on, the Montreal, getting in Zodiacs, transferring to another smaller boat, transferring again, and the sad part of our transfer from the patriotic Canadian perspective was that we were beaten to shore by a tour vessel that had pulled in right before us, and there was a bit of show of bravado on our part. We parked a big turn into the port, and they said we could go ahead, and then, of course, they were a lot faster to get their boats in the water than we were. The truth of the matter is, militaries haven't had much time to practice in the Arctic, and the Canadians are certainly far ahead of the game of most people. Give them credit for that.
So this tour boat you describe as a Russian-flagged, Australian-chartered, 6,600-ton Akademik IOF, or IOF. And tell us about what you compared to the March of the Penguins when these tourists disembarked and started roaming around on Devon Island.
Well, yeah, it was just a massive invasion. It was, you know, looked like Normandy almost. It's just Zodiac after Zodiac of tourists. They're wearing matching blue and yellow Gore-Tex jackets. They've got guides with shotguns to, in case there are any polar bears that show up. Of course, they're not shooting them. Hopefully, they've got bear bangers, which are these things to scare the bear and make them run away. And so the guards all post themselves up, and the tourists come on out. They're all, you know, older people who can afford this. It's at least $8,000 to get on some of these tours. And that was not the only boat we saw. In fact, that was one of three tourist boats when we were there on Devon Island. We set up a little camp to scan the Northwest Passage and basically be a presence. Boots on the ground. And
is there any truth to the rumor that an executive from Club Med was on that tour staking out some future turf?
I have not heard that rumor, but I I wouldn't be surprised.
I just made it up.
Actually, one of the. Go ahead.
I just made it up. Sorry.
I figured. Well, but the funny thing is the big thing that people in the shipping industry, or rather the or Coast Guard types, are worried about is not this oil tankers, not yet. The first thing they're worried about are all the tourist vessels, because there are tons and tons of them, and they're going every year, and there's not really much of a search and rescue capability up the Arctic. So that was sort of the irony. It was the invasion of the Americans came in the form of our tourists.
Yeah. Mackenzie, we're going to take a break. Hold on. We'll be right back with you. Mackenzie Funk is talking with us on a satellite phone from the United States ship Healy. He is 2,500 miles. I made a note here. He's at the 78th parallel. I'm going to look that up in my atlas here during the break. And they are mapping the bottom of the sea there as we're discussing potentially for the amendments to the Law of the Sea Treaty, and perhaps the United States will actually ratify it. We'll talk more as we continue with journalist Mackenzie Funk. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. We'll chill out with you. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the last land grab on Earth near the North Pole, the Arctic Ocean area.
As I was walking, ribbon up highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled and followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond desert. And all around me, a voice was calling. Yeah, this land was made for you and me.
Actually, that's Canada's, that's Denmark's, that belongs to Russia, and this part over here, new North Beachfront property for Washington State. We're talking with Mackenzie Funk. He's written this powerful article in the new issue of Harper's Magazine. It's as interesting as it is entertaining. And, Mackenzie, one of the things I learned just in the past year from Andy Revkin, the science writer of the New York Times, is that there actually is no actual North Pole. It's not a place. It is a coordinate on a map. And there isn't actually any earth or you know, solid soil underneath it. So it is a floating venue. Is that one of the issues that complicates the kind of efforts to map and mark or demarcate these territories in the Arctic?
Well, in a sense, it really is. I mean, the Canadians have their Canadian archipelago going way up quite north. On the American side, for instance, we have almost no land between us and the pole. So claiming land is really to say we're claiming seabed. And that, of course, is why the Russians, when they planted their titanium flag in their submarines early this month, that was, they went all the way to the bottom of the seaport to plant their flag because there was no place to plant it on top where it would matter.
Mm-hmm.
And the law of the sea is really allegedly the key to how this will be set up. I imagine there will be something to do with whoever's got the biggest presence up here and shows the most muscle, but according to the law books, it'll be basically who can prove that this part of the continental shelf underneath us is connected to, you know, their country. So we want to show that this part of the seafloor is part of the continent of Alaska, or part of Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens to be underwater. The Canadians on their side are trying to show that the seabed is really part of the continental Canada. It just happens to be underwater. Same across the board. And that, there are five nations. The last one is Norway. They're pretty quiet about all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And but everyone but the U.S. is party to the law of the sea, and everybody's mapping.
And you wrote in the article in Harper's, the U.S. has been quietly scanning the Arctic seabed with multi-beam sonar since 2003, led by Larry Mayer of the University of New Hampshire. It hasn't been made public as a State Department-led apparatus behind it. The working group that also includes the Coast Guard, Navy, and Minerals Management Service ramped up its meeting schedule last December. $8 million was slipped into a budget to fund the program. And the Healy, the ship that you're on, is the United States' only fully operational icebreaker. Costs $100,000 a day to operate, and it's shared by the entire science community. So that's the project that you're observing right now, Mackenzie?
That's right. Dr. Mayer is directly below me at the computers, I believe, or perhaps his partner, Andy Armstrong. And he tells me that they get a slight discount on what they will have to pay to National Science Foundation to use this ship. So they're paying a mere $50,000 a day.
What a bargain.
To use it, or perhaps, yeah, maybe it's 40, but it's another about 120 people on board, 30 plus of which are with the science crew. And they've got the sonar running right now, and we're going along this contour line to basically figure out where we can legitimately, scientifically say the continental shelf of the United States ends, and where it becomes this thing which, in beautifully legalese, they call the area. That's part of the oceanic surface that or subterranean surface that doesn't belong to any country.
Well, Mackenzie Funk, our time is up. I want to thank you for joining us by satellite phone from the Arctic Ocean today. It's been a blast, and I'm cooler already.
Well, I wish we all were. Thank you.
Okay, we'll talk again. That's Mackenzie Funk. Read his article in the brand new issue of Harper's Magazine. I'm Peter B. Collins. Stay tuned. Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst, joins us next. He's got a lot to talk about, including our intentions toward Iran.
Hey, it's Hal. You're listening to KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, Carmel Valley. We appreciate so much that you're sticking with us. And I do want to apologize for the dead air right now. I guess Peter B. isn't going to play the bumper music all the way through this break. So why don't we play a couple of ads? Here's one I'm sure you haven't heard in about an hour.
Name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for a great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage. Call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Yeah. Hi, Ray, let's check your audio.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years.
It is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Thanks for dialing our way for the Peter B. Collins Show today. You can call this program, and we invite you to participate anytime the urge moves you. Our calls are subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency for quality control and political correctness. They mainly check for key words like Osama. And my toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Coming up next hour, Elizabeth De La Vega returns. She's written a book about impeachment of Bush and Cheney. And we're going to get her reaction as a former U.S. attorney to the resignation of Alberto Gonzalez and just what it's going to take to repair the damage at the Department of Justice. Oh, yeah, that Constitution thing needs some fixing, too. Joining me now is a great American who served our country as an analyst at the Central Intelligence Agency, and he has gone public with his criticisms of this administration on many occasions. He's not a fearful guy. His name is Ray McGovern, and he's a co-founder of VIPS, Veteran Intelligence Personnel for Sanity. Is that right? Personnel?
Well, we say professionals.
Professionals. Yeah. You know, in acronym land, sometimes you just have to guess. Ray,
well, we got VIPS. You see, a lot of us were denied the VIP status in the bureaucratic sense because we spoke our mind. So one of the ideas here was to finally make us VIPs.
Okay, good. Well, you've always been a VIP in my book, Ray.
And
tell our listeners where you are and what you're about to participate in there in Washington.
Well, I'm down here at First Street, right in front of the Capitol, at 7 o'clock, which is a half hour away, a little protest demonstration organized by MoveOn.org is going to take place. It's one of about 10 in this immediate area, that is the Washington metropolitan area, but they're being conducted all over the country, just as a way of reminding our Congress people that we're not on vacation, that we care about the Constitution, and they darn well better ought to. They should have, and they should will, too.
Well, and I think it's really important to keep the pressure on. The Democrats have not delivered on a strategy to rein in the president and end the occupation of Iraq, or even to curtail it in a serious way. They are not putting up much of a fuss or a fight to prevent this administration from attacking Iran, and I want to talk with you about that a little bit later in our conversation. And they legalized the law-breaking of the Bush administration. They passed an amnesty bill, essentially endorsing the NSA program that was so sweetly called warrantless wiretapping, but I call it illegal surveillance. And so the Democrats have a lot of explaining to do. And now, with the resignation of Gonzalez, Ray, it is very important that the Democrats in the Senate don't operate as they have in the past with Alito and Roberts and Gates and just rubber stamp whoever the president sends up as the replacement for Gonzalez. They've got to really thoroughly use the confirmation process as it was intended.
That's exactly right, and the mind boggles when you think of the candidates that will come forth as replacements for Gonzalez. When you think of Chertoff, who is one of the people being bruited about, his record on civil rights, his record on the surveillance and everything else is just miserable. So, yeah, we have to keep an eye on the Senate, but even more so on the House, because the House is the place where impeachment proceedings can be initiated. That has to happen, Peter B. That really has to happen. Otherwise, I foresee no possibility that our senior military commanders, if they're ordered to attack Iran, will have any way out.
Well, Ray, I sure share that sentiment, and let me explain a conversation that many of our listeners heard last Friday. A good, solid liberal Democrat, Peter DeFazio, who represents Southern Oregon, including our listeners in Coos Bay, came on the program, and we were doing pretty well because he agreed with me that Alberto Gonzalez should have been impeached, and now that point is moot. But Mr. DeFazio not only disagreed about impeaching Bush and Cheney, but he actually got kind of condescending and patronizing with me and callers in saying that we just don't understand that impeachment would suck up all the oxygen in Washington. They wouldn't be able to get other things on the agenda done. Well, on reflection, if what's on the agenda is legalizing the NSA program, providing more funds for the war and occupation in Iraq, and getting out of the way of this administration so they can attack Iran, then, hey, do nothing, Congress. Do nothing all day long, and I'll be much happier for it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the Nancy Pelosi, John Conyers, Peter DeFazio explanation, and quotes, First off, there are, 435 of them in Congress?
That's right.
How about this? Is it the Jerry Ford syndrome that they can't do two things at one time? They can't let the Judiciary Committee move forward on impeachment? Would that require everyone's attention? I don't think so. I mean, that's the Jerry Ford solution. The other thing is, how can we possibly do this? Because it might put us at risk for the elections next year, and we want to win big. Now, that is the unconscionably political argument, and I have to say that when John Conyers started down that path again with Cindy Sheehan, myself, and Reverend Yearwood just a short month ago, Cindy just couldn't take it. She left. She couldn't suppress how she felt, because he had told her that before. He had told her in so many words that he's prepared to let this war continue so that Democrats can, quote, win big in 08. And I find that unconscionable. But that's their strategy. And, they're willing to play along with this president and let him do the only thing he really wants to do, and that is put enough troops into Iraq so that he can avoid, that he can stave off a definitive defeat before he and Cheney leave office in January of 2009. That is, in my view, unconscionable, and we have to keep these people's feet to the fire when they pull that kind of reasoning on us.
Indeed. And Ray, the calculation that you just described and attributed to Pelosi and Conyers is one that is fraught with some very important premises that may or may not play out. And I have serious concerns. I mean, I want to see the Republicans in the minority in both houses, and I don't want them to retain the White House in 2008. But if Hillary Clinton is the standard bearer for the Democratic Party, I predict that she could lose. It might be very close, and the rigged voting machines might come into play once again. But given her negatives and just how incredibly divisive a figure she is, I have real concerns that if she's the nominee, that the Democrats may lose the White House. And if they are seen as calculating instead of committed to the Constitution, it's real possible on a state-by-state, district-by-district basis for the Democrats to come up with no gains. And I think there's a scenario, even with, 20 Republican seats up or open in the Senate, it's possible that the American people could be once again intimidated into voting Republican.
That's quite true, Peter B. That's the political realm, and I have to confess that I find staying in that realm a little distasteful and awkward, because that's not where I've sort of dwelled in my professional career. What I care about is the Constitution of the United States. I swore an oath as an Army officer to protect and defend that Constitution, and that oath doesn't expire. And when I read the Constitution, Article 2, Section 4 says, the President of the United States shall be impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors. Not subjunctive. You might want to impeach him, or he could be impeached, or should be. No, shall be impeached. And when I mentioned that to John Conyers face-to-face, he said, Ray, there's so many high crimes and misdemeanors around here that my staff would be kept busy impeaching everybody in this town if we took that literally. And I said, Congressman Conyers, how about just starting with the president and the vice president? He said, I said, you don't have any leeway. You're the guy. The Constitution says that you need to do it. He said, no, it doesn't say Conyers needs to do it. I said, wait a second. You are the chair of the Judiciary Committee. Is that correct? That's right. Well, where does this impeachment process start? Well, it starts here. Well, we have other things to do, and it was just really, really very, 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 very frustrating, because, he swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, too, and his doesn't expire either. And so, as you may know, we stayed in his office trying to persuade him a little longer than he wanted to be persuaded, and I have a court date on the 24th of September, at which I'm going to argue that I was there to fulfill my duty, my sworn duty, to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States by trying, against all hope, to persuade Congressman Conyers to fulfill his obligation, his sworn oath, to protect the Constitution. That, there's a lot at stake there, and as you may kind of sense, a lot of us intelligence officers are rather conservative when it comes to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really at stake, plus, you know, the lives of 1,000 more young men and women from our side and tens of thousands more from the Iraqi side if we let this thing go until January of 2009, and that's what will happen.
Yeah.
That's what will happen unless we start impeachment proceedings.
And Ray McGovern, once again, you did it in confronting Donald Rumsfeld and in speaking with Mr. Conyers. You once again spoke eloquently for me and many others. And if you end up with some sort of a fine or legal expenses as a result of the court proceedings, let me know and we'll pass the hat. We'd certainly like to help out.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
And the Peter B. Bail Bond Service is available for first-time offenders. Maybe you don't qualify.
Well, actually, the three previous arrests were all thrown out on technicalities. One time, the arresting officer refused to show up. Yeah, because it would be her son or daughter that would be sent off to Iraq. And you know, I would remind your listeners that, you know, this civil disobedience stuff can be very, very contagious.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a Capitol policeman, or a woman in this case, who just doesn't show up for trial, I mean, that is really serious stuff. But she didn't want any part of this system, which would send her son and daughter over to Iraq, and mm-hmm. She was really for us, and the way she could join in our protest was by not showing up. The judge was distraught, but she let us go because there was no one there to press charges.
All right. Ray McGovern, I want to turn next to the report issued by the Inspector General at the Central Intelligence Agency. It was due out in 2005, and an act of Congress was required to squeeze it out, and it was published. And it's not very satisfying. It tells us some things we already knew, that the agency did not always work effectively and cooperatively with agencies like the FBI and others. The IG's report said that while they could not identify a single point of failure or a silver bullet that would have allowed the nation's intelligence agencies to prevent 9/11, they did say that a lack of communication within and among the agencies hampered efforts against al-Qaeda. You know, once again, nobody is being blamed or held responsible or accountable for the single most glaring failure in our domestic defenses in our nation's history. And I'd like to hear your thoughts about this IG report.
Well, the IG report is remarkable in many respects. I know the IG. I work with him and a little bit for him. His name is John Helgerson, a quintessential bureaucrat, if there ever was one. And yet he summoned up the courage to lay it all out and show that George Tenet was... his behavior was something that required, in Helgerson's view, the convening of an accountability board, okay, to look into Tenet's performance and those of a handful of other top managers to see if they should be held accountable. Now, what happened, you know, this is the way it works in Washington. When that report was nearing completion, Tenet left, and his deputy, John McLaughlin, who used to work for me, as a matter of fact, came in as acting director. Now, since he was one of the top five people who were going to convene an accountability board against, you know, he kind of deep-sixed it until Porter Goss came on, and then he said, "No, Porter, I don't think this is a good idea." And Porter said, "Oh, no, we don't want to watch this, Lenin." And so he put the kibosh on it, and so did Michael Hayden, the president. So the president, head of the CIA. The bottom line on this is Tenet was a disaster. Not only did he do the vice president's bidding in conjuring up false intelligence to begin a war that was completely unnecessary, but he also did not know the first thing about managing the intelligence community. It was his responsibility to make sure that the FBI and CIA were talking to each other, and he failed miserably. What was he doing all the time? Well, the mornings, he was insisting on joining the President's Daily Brief briefer to go downtown and schmooze with the president. How about the afternoons? Well, he brags in his book that he made 77 foreign trips to 33 different countries, 12 times to Saudi Arabia. Well, that's not what the head of the intelligence community is supposed to be doing. The head of the intelligence community is supposed to be knocking heads, making sure that CIA guys are talking to FBI guys, and when he gets a briefing, as Tenet did on the 23rd of August, 2001, that says Islamic extremists learning how to fly, Musawi from Minnesota,
right.
He really should have picked up the phone and called up the head of the FBI and said, what are we doing about this?
Ray?
Because I've just found out that he's a terrorist.
Ray, I got to sneak in a break here. We'll be right back, okay?
Okay, no problem.
Ray McGovern with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. More coming up. Collins Show. Here's a new one in the Pro Peace Archives.
It's okay to kill in the name of the Lord. It's okay. It's what God made this great country for. It's okay to kill in the name of the Lord. La 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 la. We will smite the filthy. So
Christopher Fee. The song is called It's Okay, subtitled To Kill in the Name of the Lord. And he's a guy who heard me on Air America one night last week and sent me a CD from Providence, Rhode Island. Thank you, Chris. We continue now with Ray McGovern, and I played that song on purpose, Ray, as you posted a piece at Alternet last week, dated August 23rd, asking, are Bush and company gearing up to attack Iran? And there are rumblings. If people want to go to rawstory.com today, Larissa has a new update. She'll be with us tomorrow to talk about it. But it appears that Karl Rove's departure may have been in part related to Cheney's insistence on going forward with a military assault on Iran.
Yes, I think that's possible. That's the most speculative part of our piece. What we're really saying is that what we used to consider the mouthpiece of the Soviet Union when I was doing that analysis, we talked about Pravda. Well, the Pravda of this administration is the Washington Post editorial page. And when I opened it up exactly a week ago and found out that they were saying that Iran had already made war on us, that Iran was killing our men and women in Iraq, and that Iran was about to get a nuclear weapon, and the very least we can do is designate them to be special terrorist people and so forth, I said, uh-oh, that's about 2 months away from an attack, judging from the last go-around with respect to Iraq. So there are all kinds of public media symptoms of that. And then, you know, Peter B., this is something that most people don't know. You know, this business about Iran getting a nuclear weapon, well, there's so much smoke about that. One thing you'll hear Condoleezza Rice say, well, you know, it must be, this nuclear program must be for weapons because look at all the oil they have. You know, they don't need energy. It must be for weapons. Well, you know, Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld, when they were working for President Ford, concluded a deal whereby Westinghouse and GE would install the kind of enrichment programs in Iran to the tune of over $8 billion, the very enrichment programs which they are saying now are not necessary. And the way they justified it was to say that Iran was running out of oil like everybody else, they needed the foreign exchange, and they needed over the long term this kind of nuclear energy for electricity. So there's so much disingenuousness, but the most important one is how close are they to a nuclear weapon? Well, number one, there's no proof that they're actually out for a nuclear weapon. Now, I say that because that's what the IAEA says, and I don't trust anything that comes out of this administration. But do I think they're out for a nuclear weapon? Well, Peter B., I think they'd be idiots not to be. I mean, they're one of the three points on the axis of evil.
Mm-hmm.
They've watched what happened to the country, namely Iraq, that didn't have a nuclear weapon. And they watch what didn't happen to the other country, North Korea, which did have a nuclear weapon. So
right.
If I were an Iranian, I would be hard-pressed to argue against those that would say we need a nuclear weapon to deter an attack.
Well,
having been said, let me just finish on this thought here. What needs to happen, of course, is a national intelligence estimate needs to be prepared to address the question how close they are to a nuclear weapon. And guess what? 2.5 years ago, they said, well, at the soonest, it would be early to mid-next decade, okay? Now what are they saying? Well, the update was ready in February, the NIE update on how close Iran is to a nuclear weapon. But, you know, it was sent back for redrafting. And then in April, the same thing happened. And the same thing happened in July. We might get it toward the end of September. You know why, Peter B.? Because it comes up with the wrong answers. It comes up with the same answer that has been adduced since 1985, namely, Iran couldn't possibly have a nuclear weapon for 7, 8, 9 years. It's getting too embarrassing, and of course, Dick Cheney doesn't want this out. So
That's
the most telling indicator that something really foul is afoot. And our representatives and congressmen and our senators, those particularly who work on intelligence committees, really ought to assert their prerogative and say, look, we want a report. We want a report that we can go to the American people with. We don't want all the details, the sensitive details, but we want to know how close the intelligence people think Iran is to a nuclear weapon.
And Ray McGovern, my time is up. I want to thank you for joining us. We will stay vigilant, and I know you will too. Let's talk again soon.
Thanks, Peter B.
Thank you very much. Ray McGovern in Washington on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRX. Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Idaho Senator Larry Craig now says he did not do what he's pled guilty to doing in an airport men's room. And what's more,
I am not gay. I never have been gay.
And look who's less poor. Us.
A decline in the U.S. poverty rate, the first in years.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jim Taylor in Boise, Idaho.
The biggest thing that tees me off is the hypocrisy.
A constituent of the United States Senator, senior senator from Idaho, who is on the defensive.
Speaking in Boise, Senator Craig insisted he is not gay and was arrested without cause.
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
He sounded as if he wants to retract his guilty plea.
I have now retained counsel, and I am asking counsel to review this matter and to advise me on how to proceed.
He spoke after Melanie Sloan of an ethics watchdog group called for a Senate investigation.
Senators are engaging in improper conduct, and the Senate Ethics Committee isn't doing anything about it.
Later, Senate Republican leaders said they're recommending the incident be reported to the Ethics Committee. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The conservative Republican senator with an anti-gay rights voting record pleading guilty earlier this month to charges of disorderly conduct in an airport men's room. Now this.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. That's peace of mind. Now get 3.9% APR and select Ford or Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. That's just 3.9%. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. Offer ends 9/30/07. See dealer for limited warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
It's your walls and your ideas, your kitchen and your creativity, your garage and your vision. It's your home, from the small jobs that renew to more ambitious ideas that transform. At Ace Hardware, we're here to help you.
Come to your neighborhood Ace and start your project now for paint, plumbing, home organization, serious hardware, and great gadgets. Plus, a team of Ace folks to help you get just what you need to make your home beautiful.
Ace is your place, with everything for your home, plus expert advice and solutions that work for you. Ace, the helpful place.
Is it possible there are fewer poor people in America today? It is.
Here are some of the numbers we've been crunching. The Census Bureau says 35.5 million Americans were living in poverty last year. That may sound surprisingly large, but it's actually an improvement over 2005. This is the first major decline in the number of poor people since President Bush took office. Why the reduction in the number of poor? A low unemployment rate was a big factor. More people found jobs. One other new stat to consider, the number of people without health insurance has increased to 47 million. Sam Litzinger, CBS News, Washington.
Whoa, that's the Dow slip sliding down 280 points today as Wall Street sells off.
A couple of bits of news contributed to the sell-off. We saw consumer confidence this month fall by the most in 2 years, and we also had Merrill Lynch downgrading a number of banks, saying that the credit mess is going to hurt earnings at major banks.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus there. She says we can expect a bumpy ride the rest of the week as wary investors stay away till after Labor Day. Taking a look at another trend, CBS's John Harchie on taking the SAT.
More people from more diverse backgrounds took this year's SATs than ever before. About 1.5 million students, nearly 4 out of 10 of them minorities. The College Board also says scores were down, 502 for the reading test, down a point, and 515 on math, down 3 points. Longer term, officials say reading scores have been flat and math has increased from 20 years ago.
Insanity. That'll be the defense for former astronaut Lisa Nowak.
Last week, Nowak's shuttle crewmate Piers Sellers testified about her appearance just before the attack on a romantic rival.
I noticed her looking a lot thinner and not terribly well.
In court documents, Nowak's attorney says two psychiatrists will testify she suffered from a variety of mental disorders brought on by the breakup of her marriage and her inability to confide in others. Under Florida law, the defense will have to prove that Nowak didn't understand her actions or the consequences, or that she just didn't know she was doing anything wrong. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad declaring today that U.S. political influence in Iraq is collapsing rapidly, and yes, Iran is ready to fill any power vacuum, to which the State Department's Tom Casey says the United States wants to see Iran play a more positive role in Iraq, but...
Unfortunately, what I think we're seeing here with President Ahmadinejad's comments is just more of the same Iranian rhetoric that claims to hold out support and friendship for the people of Iraq, while actions, unfortunately, take them in the opposite direction.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity again, and if you're hearing my voice, that can mean only one thing. It's Honda clearance time. So, say it with me. Lucky you, because that means it's your chance to pick an Accord, a Civic, an Odyssey, or any other Honda you want for a deal that's very sweet. And even though this is summertime, you might want to put a little spring in your step because I don't hang around forever. Hey, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. The 2007 Honda Clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm knocking. Clearance ends September 3rd.
You've reached Pearson Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get. At no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pierce, in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
2 years after Katrina.
45% of Americans say at least some progress has been made in rebuilding New Orleans.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Alberto's gone back to Texas to eavesdrop on his family. How about Bush and Cheney, too? That's Neil Young, the minstrel of La Honda in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and that's from Living with War. It was released in May of 2006, and that, of course, is called Let's Impeach the President. Elizabeth De La Vega wrote the book The U.S. versus George W. Bush et al., and she is a former assistant U.S. attorney who joins us on the program again today. Betsy, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
I want to start off with a quote from Elizabeth De La Vega.
Okay, you're going to confuse people if you call me Betsy and Elizabeth.
Yeah, that's okay. They'll figure it out.
Okay, good.
Most of your friends have, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
She wrote, because the problem with Alberto is that Alberto is only part of the problem. So we have finally seen the resignation of Gonzalez effective in mid-September. But as your quote from April of this year points out, getting rid of him doesn't really solve all the problems or fix the damage that he has done or permitted to occur at the Justice Department and elsewhere.
No, it doesn't fix them at all. I've actually spent this day going over the history of the Justice Department since Bush arrived, and it's just a very depressing activity. But the truth of the matter is that first Ashcroft, and then even with more alacrity, I suppose, Gonzalez were willing executioners of the Bush administration policies with regard to so many things, but essentially depriving people of human rights and illegal wiretapping and so forth, civil rights rather. And that culture will remain. And anyone who's appointed to a high-level position in the Bush administration will have to be part of it, or else you wouldn't be appointed in the first place. So,
Don't you think, all this hand-wringing just gets a little old. Don't you think we could fix this with a pile of pardons?
A pile of pardons?
Yeah.
Who do you want to pardon?
Oh, let's start with Alberto Gonzalez. Don't you think that the form has already been submitted?
Oh, well, I don't think that would fix anything. I think that would be the worst thing possible. But I think that I'm just hoping that Congress will not take the president's bait, which is essentially the administration is trying to say, well, we're starting over now, and anybody who tries to hold us accountable will be seen as political. That's obviously not the case. And thus far, I don't think Congress is going to take that bait, but we shall see.
Well, I've been saying since we heard the news about the Gonzalez resignation that it is incumbent on all of us now to keep the pressure on the Democrats in the Senate, particularly in the Judiciary Committee, not to go easy on whoever it is who is tossed up there to replace Gonzalez. And I know how that system works, and if they pick a senator, it'll be very hard for them to reject that nominee. But we need a thorough confirmation process that airs out all the issues about the individual and the very serious problems in the Justice Department itself.
Right. Well, the idea that any Republican senator would come in and actually change, do some kind of wholesale revolution at the Department of Justice is just absolutely ludicrous to me. People have talked about Orrin Hatch. I just don't see that happening anyway. I think that the administration would want to keep all the Republican senators it has.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't think that's a very likely possibility. But I also think that if he were put up there, there's so much fodder for discussion. He's been an apologist for the Bush administration for years now, even though he has a background as a prosecutor and knows very well that what he's apologizing for is completely beyond the pale.
Mm-hmm. What if I even hesitate to repeat this because I've only heard it once and I don't want to give it any extra life, but mm-hmm. Some people have suggested that independent Joe Lieberman of Connecticut might be considered for the post, and it's a way for him to quietly end his career.
I did hear that, and I just think that's even more ludicrous than Orrin Hatch.
Seems like it's me.
Is he even a lawyer?
I believe he is, yes.
Yeah. Well, yes, and certainly independent wouldn't actually be the word to describe Joe Lieberman. I don't see that happening either. Although, in some ways, it would be good to get him out of the Senate, I suppose. But that's not looking at it in the broad picture.
Right, right. Well, we can defer our speculation about who it might be until some real candidates surface, and maybe the White House is prepared to make the announcement pretty soon. There has been some speculation, in fact, it occurred here yesterday with Marjorie Cohn from the National Lawyers Guild, that the interim attorney general, who is the solicitor general, actually has like 200-plus days to serve as the interim. And then if a nominee is named but not confirmed, the clock starts running again. And so it would be possible through a series of maneuvers to leave Clement in there almost for the balance of the lame duck presidential term.
I could see that happening, and that actually would be a pretty smart move on the part of the administration. I don't think it would be good to have Paul Clement in there for that period of time, but compared to other people, he may be the lesser of many evils. He is, of course, a member of the Federalist Society. He's been carrying the water for the administration in all these various Supreme Court cases, making absolutely outrageous arguments
mm-hmm.
In Hamdi versus Rumsfeld and other cases. So he certainly would not be somebody who would clean house. He would just perpetuate the status quo.
Right.
But I could see that happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know who they could possibly find who would actually be a decent candidate who would be willing to take on this job.
Well, Sandra Day O'Connor seems to be chafing in retirement. She's been serving on appeals courts on an interim basis. That would be interesting. I just made that up right now. I haven't heard anybody else mention her name.
Yeah, I don't know. I think she's maybe that would be crazy for her to do that. It's mm-hmm. such a huge job, and it would be just taking on so many problems.
Right.
I don't see that happening at all.
But she is a Republican, and she does at least, you know, have a strong history of having read the Constitution and observing it in many cases. Except Gore versus Bush.
Well, she wouldn't be appointed for that very reason, because the administration is kind of in a Goldilocks position. They can't have somebody who's too partisan, and they can't have somebody who's too independent.
Yeah.
They need to have somebody who's just right.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nobody who's just right. Because if they got somebody who truly was independent, they would be shooting themselves in the foot, because then they could very well be looking at a special prosecutor,
mm-hmm.
and they would have somebody who would be cooperative with Congress in terms of these various subpoenas and so forth, and almost all of these scandals lead directly into the White House.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see them doing that at all. And if they try to nominate someone who's partisan or a crony, which they very well might do, then that person is going to be setting them up for a horrendous nomination hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that Marjorie's idea might be a very likely possibility. They are trying to run out the clock on so many other things as well.
Right. Well, and that was Kyle Sampson's very, to me, the most quotable thing he said when he was up on the Hill testifying is, because they had that Patriot Act clause that permitted them to appoint a U.S. attorney without Senate confirmation under certain circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to go ahead and use that. And he said, well, there's going to be a firestorm, but, hey, we'll just gum it to death and run out the clock.
Right. Right. That was one of the most honest things he said in this whole chain of affairs.
Yeah.
Right.
So now, one of the things that I'm curious about, I'm now seeing that the Rove Gonzalez moves were orchestrated, and they knew these things were coming. And when Rove resigned, I thought, wow, you know, I thought they were holding on to Gonzalez to protect Rove, and I guess that's no longer necessary. But who is left to stonewall at the White House to prevent the Senate Judiciary Committee from really drilling into the issues related to the U.S. attorney firings?
Well, they still have Brett Fielding, who has a lot of experience with stonewalling, having been involved in it with Nixon as well. And I think he's hired, I don't even know how many anymore, I think over about 60 lawyers. So they have a lot of people working on this, and I actually don't know how they can keep track of it, but I would say that would be the main office that would be involved in stonewalling.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing a very good job not responding to one request after another, which leads to the point that I think is the most important point, which is that Congress has to stop making quote-unquote requests, because these people don't comply with requests.
Yeah.
Well, they actually don't even comply with subpoenas.
And a week ago yesterday, Senator Leahy had a fuming news conference where he declared the White House was in contempt, and then he said, well, when the guys get back in September, we're going to talk about what to do.
Right,
I just
right.
thought, wait a minute. That is just so lame. Elizabeth, I got to take a break. We'll be right back. Elizabeth De La Vega is our guest. If you have a question or comment, you can call us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Her book is U.S. versus George W. Bush et al., and et al. Includes Dick Cheney. You can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Let's go to Metro Track Traffic with Mike. How's it going today, Mike?
Mayor, not a whole lot of details at this point, although it does appear CHP is on scene. We're also going to look at Watsonville. It appears southbound 1 after 152, of a fender bender report there, two cars on the shoulder. Castroville, it appears Highway 1 at Moss Landing Road, right on the right shoulder we have a crash. It's a boat towing a trailer. The trailer actually lost a tire. And apparently, get ready for this, the tire went through a vehicle's windshield, and emergency crews are actually just arriving on scene. Injuries reported there, and it is creating quite a bit of a slowdown in the area. Also want to take a look at another problem in Watsonville, southbound 1 after 152 on the right shoulder, two vehicles there. And in Del Monte Forest, Highway 68, right at Skyline Forest Drive, it is a disabled vehicle, the roadway partially blocked there. The support brought to you by Diet Right Zero. Red raspberry soda, zero calories, zero carbs, caffeine-free, and soda-free. This, again, the support brought to you by Diet Right. Hey, traffic on KRXA.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks a lot. Talk to you in a half hour.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. If you have a legal background and you're looking for a job, consider the Justice Department in Washington, D.C. All eight of the top positions are vacant. We continue with Elizabeth De La Vega, former Assistant U.S. Attorney in Northern California. And, Betsy, what about all these openings there? Do they have to wait for a new attorney general to be named to fill those positions? And in the meantime, is anybody home?
Well, I'm not sure if they would have to wait. I don't think they really would. But there definitely the work of the Department of Justice continues regardless of whether those people are there because, for the most part, the day-to-day work is really unaffected by those people, but it definitely makes a huge statement about the Bush administration and is a sign of complete disarray at the Department of Justice. And I think that it says a lot about an administration when people can't stay there because either they're under investigation themselves or they can't abide the policies that are being carried out, which is the case now. A lot of people have already left, not necessarily people in the highest positions, but many, many of the career employees have left because you just can't work in that kind of environment where you're being asked to carry out tasks and policies that are completely contrary to the law.
But with this many vacancies, should we, say, outsource it to KBR and just have them staff it for us on a contract basis?
I'm not sure. Yeah, well, we have done that with just about everything else. I don't know if they have the proper employees, but maybe that doesn't really matter.
Well, they'll recruit them, no problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And they'll pay them double and mark it up and make the taxpayers pay even more.
Right, right. That's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, getting serious for a moment here, what do we do as citizens to insist that the Justice Department be restructured, reinvigorated, in tune with the Constitution?
Well, at this point, I think our best hope is simply to insist that Congress continues its efforts to hold Alberto Gonzalez and so many of these other people all the way up through the White House, via Karl Rove and so forth, to hold them accountable. I honestly don't see any possibility, a realistic possibility, of straightening out the Justice Department while this administration is here.
Mm-hmm. Do we have recourse to Gonzalez? Can we try him for war crimes or for failure to honor his oath to the Constitution? Or was impeachment while in office the only remedy?
No. If there were either a special prosecutor or down the road a new administration that had the desire to pursue these violations, he could definitely be tried for them. And I would be strongly in favor of that. One thing I read today that was very interesting was an article by Robert Bork. You remember him?
Sure.
On the National Review Online. I decided to see what those folks were saying. And he seems to be very concerned that the Democrats will insist, as a condition of confirming any nominee, that that person agree to the appointment of a special prosecutor.
Well, I'd love that. I haven't seen that kind of spying in the Democrats recently, though.
No, I haven't either, so I'm not sure where he's coming up with that idea. But I think it's a good idea, and I appreciate him coming up with it.
Well, I'm a little suspicious. I've met Mr. Bork, and notwithstanding that his name was converted to a verb, he's a brilliant and dangerous man.
He is. I'm not sure what his agenda would be for writing that, but he was trying to kind of, it was kind of a crying wolf thing, trying to make it sound like this is a disastrous situation.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, he has some agenda for doing that.
I mean, my first reaction is it sounds like one of those Sean Hannity talking points where they'll bring something up and then blame it on liberals.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the way Bush, in his speech or his brief commentary to the press at Waco yesterday, praising Alberto Gonzalez, saying his name had been dragged through the mud because of politics. Well, he, of course, always neglects to mention that the people who initiate the hardball politics are his employees at the White House. And then the Democrats respond, and that is called politics.
Right. That is absolutely one of the most outrageous things that the president said yesterday, and really offensive to people who work at the Department of Justice, because what he said was that the Democrats have created a harmful distraction from the work of the Department of Justice. Well, it is the conduct of the administration that created a harmful distraction, and I wouldn't even call it a harmful distraction. It's more like a knife in the heart of the whole department. They have really taken it and used it for their own political purposes, trying to get people to do cases against Democrats, trying to keep them from doing cases against Republicans, hiring people because they are Republicans, on and on and on.
And, Bessie, I believe that if the Democrats really investigate this thoroughly, it will lead to the stolen election in Ohio in 2004. That's my hunch, and I'd love to see them dig deep enough to prove it out. Thank you, Elizabeth De La Vega. We'll talk again.
Okay, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
And this is KRXA 540.
Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
From the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Let's do it.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. And Katrina's been off in Wyoming or Montana, I'm not even sure where. She's not hunting bear. She is out stalking bear to take a look at them and, you know, see how they live, that kind of thing. And she's due back on Thursday, and it just puts me face to face with how great a job she does, because when I try to substitute for her, it's hard work to find great people to have on the program and track them down and schedule them and all that sort of thing. And right now we're trying to locate a guest who I lined up earlier today. He is Dr. Russ Rumberger, director of the California Dropout Research Project. And if we reach him, we're going to find out about the dropout rate in California, high school dropout rate, and what it costs us in many different respects. So we're working on that right now. In the meantime, I'll just let you know a couple of things. One is that there's a holiday weekend coming up. And the Peter B. Collins Show will be bringing you replays, or what we euphemistically refer to in the biz as the best of Peter B. Collins, replays of recent shows that you may have missed, and we'll have replays on Friday and Monday so that I and Katrina and Brian can take a little time off and ignore our families. So I don't want you to be distressed if you hear a repeat program, or should you try to call on Friday or Monday and get no answer. You may assume that government authorities have taken control, but that will not be the case. Also, change. We had expected to hook up with John Laird, the Democratic Assembly member from Santa Cruz, next hour. He won't be able to join us today, but we'll try to reschedule that for tomorrow or Thursday.
He spoke eloquently today on the floor of the Assembly in support of a measure that should go to the ballot when we go to the presidential primary polls next February. And it's a referendum on the war in Iraq. And it'll be very interesting to see. It passed on party lines in the Assembly, and it goes back to the Senate, and then a guy named Schwarzenegger has to sign it. And in the few comments he has made about the war in Iraq, he has indicated his support for the Bush administration. And so it's unclear as to whether he would put his signature on that and actually permit it to go to the ballot. So that's one of the things we'll be talking about a little bit later on. Also, about an hour from now, Bree Walker will join us. She is an Air America talk show host in Los Angeles, and she was present on Monday, yesterday, in San Diego for a protest. Over 500 people came out at 7 o'clock in the morning to let Clear Channel Radio know that they want to keep progressive talk on KLSD in San Diego. So that's a very interesting story that we're working on, and Bree will join us about an hour from now. Well, I've just learned that it appears we're not going to be able to reach Dr. Rumberger, so let's put that over here, and we'll talk about dropouts some other time. And I want to open up the phone lines to talk with you. And, of course, we've been discussing the departure of Alberto Gonzalez, some of the handicapping that has been going on about who might replace him. And if you'd like to weigh in on this, I've got room for your call right now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Among candidates who've been mentioned so far, you've heard about Michael Chertoff. And I really don't think that nomination would go very far if it went into the confirmation process. Chris Cox, a former Southern California Republican congressman and now chair of the SEC, the Security and Exchange Commission. George J. Terwilliger III. I think he should be disqualified just on the basis of the wacky name and the three Roman numerals after it. But there's another reason to disqualify him. He was very active in the post-election activities in Florida in the year 2000, agitating on behalf of the Bush administration, well, it wasn't an administration yet, the Bush campaign, to prevent every vote from being counted in Florida. And Lawrence Silberman from the Court of Appeals in Washington, Larry Thompson at PepsiCo, he's a former deputy attorney general. And he is an African-American, so that might be a trump card for the Bush administration. And also, people have mentioned Joe Lieberman. Now, I heard this on the Tom Hartman program today, and you know how you turn on a radio show and while you're driving, and you may have missed the setup. I heard him talking about the prospect that Joe Lieberman would resign from the Senate to accept appointment as Attorney General. But hey, the gig's only going for another year and a half, and even Lieberman is smart enough to count that. And so I don't see that as a likely prospect, but I think that the administration, as Betsy De La Vega pointed out, needs to tread very carefully because they want somebody who can be perceived as an independent who will clean up the Justice Department, and they need an inside ball player who will run interference for the White House because they've got a lot of legal problems. And with Gonzalez gone, they don't have a toady over there to protect them. So I think that is going to be very interesting. And it's one of the reasons that Marjorie Cohn yesterday on this program suggested that Paul Clement, the Solicitor General, who is being promoted to acting Attorney General, may just be left in there through the end of the term as a way to avoid a contentious confirmation process. So let's go to the phones and see who's there. Lisa in Eureka, thanks for calling. You're on the
Hi.
Air.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead, Lisa.
Oh, I thought we got disconnected.
Not yet.
Okay.
It's inevitable, but not yet.
Yeah, no. You don't want to do that. My biggest fear is that they're going to get somebody just like him to keep up the status quo. Very seemingly that this administration basically says, gives the finger, I should say, to anything and anybody that stands against it. And we as citizens of the United States, we say that we love our Constitution, and at the same time we have an administration that's basically pointing the finger at it or giving the finger to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frustrating because I think they're just going to keep doing the status quo until they are out of office. And I am all for impeachment. I just don't get it. It's going to take, I mean, it's not rocket science. These people have broken the law. Get them out now.
Well, Lisa, I hear you, and I echo your thoughts there. As you may have heard last week, we had Congressman DeFazio from Southern Oregon on, and he doesn't want to hear that. He doesn't want to hear about impeaching Bush and Cheney. And
what's the reasoning? What's the reasoning behind it? It's a waste of time?
It's no more of a waste of time
than it was to impeach Clinton.
Well, I agree, and the Democrats have frittered away some of the lead time they had. Because if Pelosi had not, quote unquote, taken impeachment off the table, then John Conyers would have been free to pursue hearings as early as January of this year.
And these folks can't be held accountable once they're out of office, correct?
No, that's not true. Lisa, the other point I would make is that the Clinton impeachment hearings occurred after the 1998 midterm elections. And so it was done during the very last part of the lame duck portion of his second term. And so for the Democrats to say that there wasn't time wasn't true. They've lost a lot of time. And so looking at September of 2007, it is tight to try to launch impeachment hearings, even to the point of reaching the indictment that would lead to a trial in the Senate.
It's only because everybody sits on their fingers and doesn't realize what they're doing.
Well, Lisa, that's my point, is that they had the time. They blew it, and now they're claiming, oh, we can't. And
yeah.
I think that irrespective, and this is where Ray McGovern's voice, I think, is very powerful, irrespective of the political calculations, the Democrats need to stand for the Constitution, and their political fortunes will grow if people perceive the Democratic Party as fighting for the rights of individual Americans.
Because as it stands right now, you know, I don't even know if I could vote Democrat. I just don't know. I don't believe in anything that either one of these parties is standing for at this point in our history.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to go down in history as some of the worst times in America. We're so busy looking at other places that we can take over or invade or do this or do that, that we're not taking care of our basic infrastructure, the basic rights of the people right here in the United States. And I'm angry and I'm tired of it.
Now, you make it sound like, you know, just willy-nilly bridges are falling down for no particular reason.
No, I'm talking about health care. Health care is not something that you should have to negotiate for. It should be a right of every citizen.
I was setting you up for the bridge in Minnesota, Lisa.
Well,
and now we're blaming.
I mean, I don't know if you know it. We have 27 bridges here in Humboldt County that are classified as dangerous.
Well, keep the pigeons away from them because they're now saying that pigeon dung or guano may have been one of the causes for accelerated rusting on that bridge in Minneapolis.
Okay, so we should all go out pigeon hunting. Have a great day, Peter.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate the call. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to check in. Any subject works here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now to Peter, who's on the highway. Which highway, Peter?
Highway 101, Peter, at the southern end of the Salinas Valley. I'm driving up with my wife from Los Angeles, and we collected you just as we crossed into the valley.
Well, it's great to have you listening. What's on your mind today?
Well, it's not what you're talking about, and all this stuff is so important, and it's somewhat frivolous, perhaps, but it kind of comes up when you're spending hours on the highway. And we were looking at the vineyards further south coming out of San Luis Obispo and talking about the process, and maybe this is something you know about or maybe somebody in your audience knows, but when the grapes are collected, as harvest is starting to happen now, and then they're taken for the crush, do you know if they're washed first, or do they just go get crushed and become wine with all the junk on them and whatever the field workers had on their hands and that sort of thing?
Well,
I
will tell you what I think, and then I'm willing to be corrected by somebody who actually works in the wine industry and knows better than I.
Okay.
But I believe that the grapes are picked and loaded and delivered to the crusher, and they are crushed, and I do not believe they are washed. I think one of the reasons is that if the grapes get too soaked with water, They lose their character, and they lose some of the chemistry that leads to good wine.
So is it not a health issue then? Is it because the alcohol, once it becomes alcohol, kills whatever might have been there? And what about the pesticides for those wines that are for those grapes that are sprayed? What happens chemically there?
Well, that's why many wineries, and I will name one that I know, the Fetzer Winery up in Ukiah, they now grow entirely organic grapes, and they brag that they use no pesticides.
Yeah, and there are a few. There's another one up in Sonoma County, a little one in Annapolis.
Mm-hmm.
There are, you're right, more and more just the shelves. But I would be fascinated to know if somebody in your audience has to know, or if your resources can dig out a winemaker,
mm-hmm.
what goes on there.
All right. Well, we will look into that, and I hope we come up with a better answer, but I honestly think the grapes are not washed generally before they're processed.
That was my inclination, too. I can also, before I say goodbye, just tell you that in Greenfield, north on 101 at the Oak Avenue exit, there are no traffic problems.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that. So proceed at 75 miles an hour.
Not a problem.
All right.
No cops either.
Thank you for the call. Now, that's a very interesting question, and if somebody knows the answer, maybe you work in viticulture, maybe you work at a winery, or you make your own wine and you have observed the process, but to my knowledge, and I am a dedicated consumer of California wines, and I've followed the process in Napa and other counties, I am not aware that grapes are washed before they are crushed. And like I said, if you know the answer, bring it on right now. And, well, I'll toast to you later today when I have a glass of something or other. Toll-free lines open right now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
And now let's go to the traffic with Mike of Metro Traffic. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon there, Hal. And not a lot of activity right now, although we've got a couple of problems. Let's give you the latest. Starting off with the Watsonville situation, Highway 1 at Struve Road, we have an accident. It's on the right shoulder. It was a boat towing a trailer. Apparently, the trailer lost a tire. The tire then went crashing through a windshield of another vehicle. We have emergency crews on scene, fire department and paramedics there attending to a couple people that got injured in that crash. And in Santa Clara County, Highway 9, right at looks like Skyline Boulevard, we have a motorcycle down the roadway. We have fire crews on scene. In fact, they're calling for a life flight helicopter to the scene there. So once they land that helicopter, they're going to shut down the roadway and put that individual on a on that chopper and fly them out. But the roadway is going to be shut down for at least 15 to 20 minutes. And as soon as CHP reopens it, we'll certainly pass it along to you. Checking Highway 17, no problems to report there in either direction. The support brought to you by Flex Your Power. During the hot weather, we all know it's vital to conserve energy, especially if officials call for a Flex Alert. After all, by saving energy immediately, you're helping handle the energy challenge. Updates at FlexYourPower.org. I'm Mike. That's Traffic on KRXA.
Hey, Mike. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you in about a half hour. And we're going to go right back to Peter B. Collins.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. We're taking phone calls right now. Our guest was not available, and we're in free speech mode for the remainder of the program. The only interruption in your phone calls, Bree Walker will join us next hour about half past to talk about the protests, trying to keep progressive talk on in San Diego. We called up our buddy Scott Dick, who joins us every Thursday here to talk military and veterans affairs, and he's also the host of the Tasty Planet program, Food, Wine, and Travel, on KRXA Saturday afternoons in Monterey at AM 540. That's from 1 to 4 o'clock, and it just so happens I was a guest on the Tasty Planet last week. So, Scott, a caller who was driving up on 101 through Greenfield was looking at all the grapes that are about ready to be harvested, and asked the question, do they wash those grapes before they crush them? And from everything I know, the answer is no. What do you know about that, Scott?
Peter, they don't. They, in fact, they count on the yeast. Some winemakers use yeast, but there's plenty of yeast that's already on those grapes.
Mm-hmm.
So they de-stem them, they de-seed them, but they don't wash them. I mean, think of all the residual water. There'd be no way they'd have to invent some new process to keep the water from entering the wine, and then it would just be like, you know, crummy old watered-down wine.
Right, and also the skins would end up being softened up because of the external moisture, and that causes problems with wines that are made on the lees.
Right, and, you know, it's a huge issue already with, I had a conversation with a winemaker last Saturday, and they're already harvesting, by the way, down near Lodi.
Mm-hmm.
Just the amount of time, let's say you have a truckload of grapes that have been picked and are ready to be crushed and started. If that truck driver has a flat tire, the amount of time it'll take to have the tire changed and move on towards the winery will negatively affect the wine. That's how, once the grapes are picked, that's how fragile they become.
Mm-hmm. And what about pesticides on the grapes? The caller was asking about that, and you could imagine that they could hose the vineyard down a week or two before they pick to try to reduce the residual pesticide levels.
I don't know of anybody that sprays that close to actual picking. They have a lot of different threats. They have a bird threat. They have a fox threat, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to the insects, they try to do everything they can using natural predators. They just don't produce a lot of spraying
mm-hmm.
near picking. I mean, it would go right into the vats, and then you could detect it
right.
In the lab.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you make a good point. A lot of the spraying occurs earlier in the growing cycle, and it wouldn't be present to wash it off close to picking time.
No, it'd be just more of the same. A lot, very, very intensive. Kind of. I've never seen a truck and a trailer, a water tanker out in the vineyard spraying
mm-hmm.
just for that reason. I mean, there's so many different ways you can screw this up. And, in fact, the organic growers earlier in the year, they buy those 5-gallon buckets of ladybugs, for example, and that's one of their ways that they fight the
mm-hmm.
pest threat.
All right. Very interesting. I'll buy you a glass of wine next time I see you.
Thanks, Peter. Pleasure.
All right. Appreciate the expertise. That's Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now to Peter in Salinas. A lot of Peters flying around today. Hello, Peter.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins.
How's it going?
I want to thank you for bringing Ray McGovern on again.
Yeah.
He's always spot on. And as usual, his take on impeachment and the invocation of the word shall.
Mm-hmm.
And I would add, damn it now. To the And, Peter, my last comment is on Mr. DeFazio you had on last week.
Right.
These Democrats, Peter, are starting to sound a lot like the Saturday Night Live skit with the Whiners. Do you remember them?
Sure do.
Oh, it's going to take at least 5 or 6 months. And what about our macaroni and cheese?
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of the whining, Peter. I'm not tired of the wine. I'm tired of the whiners.
Okay, Peter, thank you. And
thank
let me
you.
Let me just add a note for you. One of the things I've been working on for a week now, following the comments that Congressman Jerry McNerney made after returning from Iraq, saying that he wants the Democrats to dial back on their efforts to force a timeline and withdrawal on the Bush administration. And I've been in touch with his press guy, Andy Stone, talked to him twice on the phone, and today I got an email back. Peter, we are not going to be able to make this happen anytime soon. Now, as far as I know, Congress is not in session this week. And most people are either on vacation, and hey, if he's on vacation, he's entitled to it. I don't object to that. But they're coming back from their summer break next week. And I think this is a very important issue that the congressman would want to talk about. But I think he has figured out that people like me would ask him very tough questions about why he's modified his position on Iraq and modified or reduced his opposition to the Bush administration. And so I'm deeply disappointed that somebody who we went out of our way to help get elected is now unavailable at a critical time.
Peter, my last comment is I hope there's a place in a Kentucky coal mine for all these Democrats that are dragging their feet for, as you noted, political purposes.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Now to Eureka we go, and I need to click here. It's Sandra. Welcome, Sandra. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, on your break, two breaks ago, they had an announcement about a gentleman who works for the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and he had brought out a great deal of waste and outright fraud, and he is now going to be indicted for revealing government secrets.
Oh, really? Are we going
to... I caught a name, but I did not. But
Are we punishing the whistleblower, Sandra?
We are really... We're taking his job away, and I don't know if they're going to send him to jail or not, but they're threatening his job. I think you guys should find out names, places, get on it, and publicize it. They get away with this because it's a blurb on the news, and then it's gone, and everybody's beating up on impeachment. You know, it would be nice if it happened, but we've heard all there is to hear about it on both sides. Let's get some other kind of corruption that we can maybe do something about, because there's plenty of it out there.
All right. Sandra, we'll look into this. I really appreciate your call and the tip.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You very much. So we've got another hour for your phone calls today. The Free Speech Zone is wide open, and all of our stations are on the air today. And that means there's no excuse for you not to pick up the phone and give us a call. In the break here, we're going to check in with Tom Seaborn at KGOE and see if he can tell us more about this Bureau of Indian Affairs whistleblower. And in the meantime, I want you to grab a line and talk with me and our listeners in the next hour. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. You dial 1-888-573-8372. And Brian Urban picks up the phone and asks you what you want to talk about, but he won't refuse to take your call, no matter what you want to talk about. We take calls on any subject from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. That's the rule here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Senator Larry Craig says he did not do what police said he did in an airport men's room, says he should not have pled guilty to charges of disorderly conduct, and above all, the senator says he's not gay.
An Idaho newspaper has been investigating allegations of homosexuality dating back 25 years.
My family and I have been relentlessly and viciously harassed by the Idaho Statesman.
Craig said when arrested in an airport bathroom, that climate made him plead guilty in June to a lesser charge in hopes of making the story disappear.
I wasn't eager to share this failure, but I should have anyway, because I am not gay.
He said he's still considering running for re-election, although Senate Republicans are referring the whole incident to the Senate Ethics Committee. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The Dow dropping 280 points today. Why?
It reaffirms that the consumer is just not feeling great about the economy at the moment, given the fact that we have a credit crisis and a slumping housing market.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says volume is really low because a lot of traders are sitting things out until after the Labor Day holiday. That sets up a possibly bumpy ride the rest of this week. We may not be getting richer, but fewer of us are getting not poorer. The percentage of Americans living in poverty is dropping for the first time in years. Census Bureau figures also show that median household income increased slightly to $48,200 a year. Was she out of her mind? The former astronaut said to have worn disposable diapers while driving nonstop from Texas to Florida to allegedly assault a female astronaut in a NASA love triangle. Well, defense says that will be the defense of Lisa Nowak, CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
I think this is a defense that mirrors the realities of this case. Rather than fight it out and deny the facts, what the defense is going to try to do is that say that she had no criminal intent at the time that she did it, that she was so blinded by rage or jealousy or whatever, she literally wasn't in her right mind. I don't blame them for taking a shot at it. I'm not sure it's going to succeed, but it's probably their best option.
Welcome home.
You guys are a sight for sore eyes. It's good to be home in South Dakota.
As Senator Tim Johnson in Sioux Falls making his first public appearance since a seizure last December. President Bush is broadening his defense of the Iraq War, says that withdrawing U.S. forces would put the security of the United States in jeopardy. Speaking to a veterans group in Reno, the president says leaving Iraq would allow the Middle East to be taken over by extremist forces. The sound of a peaceful religious festival in Karbala, Iraq. Peaceful until rival Shiite militias started shooting things up. At least 51 dead, hundreds wounded, officials calling an end to the party. A million Shiite pilgrims told to pack up, leave Karbala, go back home. Again, the Dow falling 280 points today to end at 13,041. This is CBS News.
Where's my tricycle?
Let's get your helmet on first, big guy.
Aw, Dad, come on. I'm taking my bike over to Ryan's.
Hey, where's your helmet?
Dad.
What they hear is you telling them to wear a helmet. What you're really saying is, I love you. Introducing the car inspired by that love. The all-new 2008 Ford Taurus, rated the safest full-size car in America.
Hey, hey, and no helmet, no video game.
Dad!
Taurus comes with six airbags, standard, and with optional electronic stability control. Taurus is an IIHS top safety pick and has received NHTSA's five-star crash test safety rating for front and side impacts.
I'm going to Amy's.
Aren't you forgetting?
Dad, what's this?
Keys to the Taurus.
Really?
Thought you might want to borrow it.
Dad!
The all-new 2008 Ford Taurus, rated the safest full-size car in America. Visit your Ford dealer or go to FordVehicles.com.
Based on both NHTSA 5-star crash test ratings and with optional ESC, IIHS top safety pick. Star ratings are part of the U.S. Department of Transportation SaferCar.gov program. www.safercar.gov.
Hey, did you stay up late enough or get up early enough to catch that stunning lunar eclipse?
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the
CBS's John Blackstone did.
The moon remains gray, sort of its familiar gray color as the Earth's shadow moves across it. But then as soon as the eclipse is total, the moon suddenly takes on this reddish glow. And scientists explain this as the refraction of light. But for those watching it, it's really all about romance and beauty and mystery.
You know, the night's magic.
Los Angeles police log confirms someone tried to kill himself at Owen Wilson's house. Happened over the weekend. The log doesn't say who. Someone did call 911 from Wilson's house reporting an attempted suicide, and he is the one who ended up in the hospital. The movie actor releasing a statement asking reporters to let him heal in private during this difficult time. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. Every one must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. That's peace of mind. Now get 3.9% APR and select Ford or Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. That's just 3.9%. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. Offer ends 9/30/07. See dealer for limited warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
It's your walls and your ideas, your kitchen and your creativity, your garage and your vision. It's your home, from the small jobs that renew to more ambitious ideas that transform. At Ace Hardware, we're here to help you.
Come to your neighborhood Ace and start your project now for paint, plumbing, home organization, serious hardware, and great gadgets. Plus, a team of Ace folks to help you get just what you need to make your home beautiful.
Ace is your place with everything for your home, plus expert advice and solutions that work for you. Ace, the helpful place.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue taking your phone calls. It's the Free Speech Zone, extended today on the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got most lines available right now, so give us a call. It'll be a short wait, and we'd love to hear your comments. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And some of you who operate the tuner on your radio receiver may have heard this music.
I went back to Ohio.
As the overworked theme of the Rush Limbaugh show. I know Chrissy Hynde of the Pretenders is still apoplectic that he has used her music so frequently. But I played it on purpose because I want to ask you progressives to seriously consider the dynamics of the presidential race that is shaping up. Before I get to that, though, a little word of inspiration from Peggy, who's listening online in Key West, Florida. Peter, when you mentioned that people could be fooled into voting Republican again, my heart sank. And you are right. I've been in denial. It was nice to harbor the illusion that we would be working our way out of the hands of the lying, cheating, scheming folks who control this homeland. And the ridiculous Democrats, dot, dot, dot. Peter, keep calling it like it is. And it isn't pretty. Signed, Peggy in Key West. Peggy, I appreciate that. And I would like to use that to launch into this little rant. I touched on this toward the very end of the show yesterday. On Sunday, I was at home doing some laundry, actually, and I flipped on the Fox News channel. Sean Hannity has a weekend show where he's relaxed and comfortable. He wears blue jeans. And so I watched with interest as first he lowered the hammer on John Edwards. In about a four-minute package, they accused Edwards of deep hypocrisy. And the issues are that Edwards is a rich trial lawyer who lives in a huge 28,000-square-foot home, and that he champions the issues of the poorest Americans, particularly those who've been left behind in post-Katrina New Orleans. That's where Edwards launched his campaign for president in this cycle. And he has talked at length about his view of the two Americas. And so Hannity exploited the two Americas theme and painted Edwards as a hypocrite, showing that a hedge fund that he has invested in and that paid him $500,000 for unknown work, that hedge fund controls mortgages, and the mortgage companies have been evicting people from New Orleans who could not make the payments on their damaged properties. So, in terms of scoring a direct hit, no, but it's a glancing blow, and it could damage Senator Edwards. But they save the real devastating ammo for Senator Clinton. And in about a five-minute piece, complete with beachwear to illustrate the flip-flop point, Sean Hannity drove home how Hillary Clinton has essentially inherited John Kerry's flip-flop mantle. And he went into detail showing her speech before the war where she supported the president's authorization to use military force in Iraq. then showing her comments over the past year, including at the Take Back America conference, where I heard her speak this past May or June. And the picture that he paints is devastating, because he shows her as an opportunistic, ambitious person who will say whatever it takes at the moment to connect with her target group. And I tell you about this because I'm really torn. I don't want Hillary Clinton to be the nominee of the Democratic Party next year, and I see the media and the polls rushing headlong to anoint her. I think if Hillary's the nominee, we stand a great chance of losing the White House again, with or without fixed elections and gamed electronic voting machines. So I'd like to hear from you. Are you ready to stand up and say no to Hillary? And are you willing to have your voice amplified? Because the primaries are coming up screaming fast. And by December, it's going to be too late for people to take a position. So I encourage you to come forward today. And if you support Hillary Clinton, I want to hear from you. If you don't, I want to hear from you. Because we're reaching the crucial time period in this process. And I believe that those of us who think that Hillary Clinton is toxic for the future of the Democratic Party need to stand to be heard today. It will be too late a year from now if she carries the nomination, and we have to suck it up, hold our noses, and support her as the nominee. I'll take your calls in a moment. 888-5-PETER-B, so let me hear from you. I called our buddy Tom Seaborn at KGOE in Eureka, following up on Sandra's tip about the news story she heard on KGOE. Tom, thanks for calling back.
Hey, thanks for having me, Peter. I was looking up that story, and I didn't have the actual one as fast enough to call you back, but I found the same stories from the AP at another source.
Okay. So
and basically, it was about a Navy veteran named Donald Vance, and evidently he blew the whistle on the way the weapons were being handed out over in Iraq. He said he told federal agents that buyers there were Iraqis, insurgents, American soldiers, State Department workers, and Iraqi embassy and ministry employees. The seller, he said, was the Iraqi-owned company he worked for, Shield Group Security. He said it was a Walmart for guns. It was illegal, and everyone knew it. So he blew the whistle, Mr. Donald Vance, Navy veteran, and he was imprisoned by the U.S. military and subject to harsh interrogation methods. For his trouble, he got 97 days in Camp Cropper.
Hmm.
Yeah, for this. Now, it's funny because today I'm looking at a New York Times story that's from today.
That's what I was just about to say.
Okay, and they say, you got Petraeus saying, well, you know, we don't, you know, the inquiries are being pursued by the Federal Army Criminal Investigation Command, the Department of Justice, the FBI, among other agencies. And basically he says that, where is it, where General Petraeus is basically saying that, oh, we haven't really actually found any, you know, wrongdoing here. And I'm just like, well, what about this guy that you know, allowed to be thrown in jail? It's just you know, when they're throwing our own servicemen in jail for you know, talking about the wrongdoing going on over there. Well, who is supposed to talk about this then?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, who? If you can't trust, you know, a Navy veteran, who can we trust?
Well, and we've seen a series of investigations and reports that show that there have been all kinds of shenanigans with the spending of American taxpayer dollars, the spending of Iraqi oil money, and in particular, the importation of weapons. There was a huge cache of weapons found in Italy recently that were on their way to Iraq, ordered by the Iraqi government, and the U.S. didn't know diddly about it.
Really?
Yeah.
I missed that one.
So
the news comes out faster than you can report it, much less follow up on it these days.
Tom, here's the article you referenced. It's up at truthout.org right there on the homepage. Iraq weapons, a focus of criminal investigations. It's a front page story on the Times today. And they're talking about billions of dollars of weapons and supplies and other materiel. And so this is a very significant issue. And why Donald Vance was punished for blowing the whistle, well, that bears out a, I think, further investigation.
Yeah, I guess Petraeus said that it is imperative to provide weapons to Iraqi security forces, and that's more important than maintaining impeccable records and actually finding out who you're giving the weapons to, you know.
Well, and now we, in recent months, one of the things that has caused a change in fortunes in Anbar, or Al-Anbar province, is that we've been arming certain Sunni groups. And we're not getting receipts from them for the weapons that we're giving them. And many people are concerned that, in short order, Americans will be on the receiving end of those weapons that we gave to the Sunnis in Anbar.
Well, the Sunnis, aren't they being backed by Saudi Arabians?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least 20% of those people did not attack us on 9/11. I had to borrow that from The Daily Show. But, I mean, it's...
Don't be confusing me with the facts, Tom.
Yeah, really.
Thanks.
No,
for...
it's just sad, you know, and you run through this stuff every day, and it just, I'm in amazement, you
okay.
know, that they would lock somebody up like this, and at the same time, they're supposedly having an investigation. You know, how about pulling your own guy out of jail and asking what really happened?
Yeah.
That's pretty simple.
Well, Tom, thank you for following up on that. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Peter B.
Okay, good to hear from you today.
All right.
Now to Jake in Arcata. Hello, Jake. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B. How's it going?
Good today.
Hey, I'd just like to say, of course, hi to Tom Seaborn first. And, you know, I'd like to thank him for, as program director over there at KGOE, for putting Peter B. Collins on there.
And I second that.
That's right. You know, there's two right-wing stations in Eureka, and KGOE is the only one in town who has the guts and the intelligence to put good shows on the air like yours.
Well, thanks.
I'd like to thank KGOE. The reason I called was about Larry Craig, you know.
The great senator from Idaho?
Yeah, the great anti-gay senator from Idaho. You know, and this is the whole point. It's the hypocrisy. It's the self-righteousness of someone like Larry Craig to go on the Senate floor, and anybody who's familiar with Larry Craig knows how self-righteous this man is. He goes out there and he screams about how gay marriage would destroy traditional family values, how we can't let gay people in the military, how Bill Clinton should have been removed from office for his affair with Lewinsky. Well, let's be honest, Senator Craig, it's time for Larry Craig to resign from the Senate, because last time I checked, there weren't any Democrats trying to pick up undercover officers in airport bathrooms.
We haven't heard stories like that surfacing, and you just imagine that if a Democrat were involved, it would be reported immediately. Larry Craig's indiscretion here was kept under wraps from June through his arraignment in August and his guilty plea. It's interesting. I don't know how Roll Call came up with the story, but it's interesting that he was able to suppress it for that long. And, Jake, Melanie Sloan, who is generally with us this time on Tuesdays, couldn't be with us because she's in great demand to talk about Larry Craig and Al Gonzalez's resignation. And here's a quote from her at Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. While I'm pleased that Senate Republicans are joining Cruz's call for an investigation into Senator Craig's conduct, their failure to ask for an ethics investigation of the similarly outrageous conduct of Senator David Vitter is puzzling. While Craig pleaded guilty to a crime involving soliciting sex but is now denying his guilt, Vitter has not been charged but has admitted to the crime of soliciting for prostitution. Thus, both men have admitted to committing misdemeanor crimes that reflect poorly on the Senate, and both should be treated equally. The only possible interpretation of the Republicans' differing reaction to the two cases is that Senator Craig's case involves gay sex. Apparently, soliciting for heterosexual sex does not offend the family values platform in the way that soliciting for gay sex does.
Right, right. Unless you're a Democrat, though, of course.
I think they make a very good point there. Hey, I'm late for a break, Jake. Thanks for your call today.
Thanks, Peter.
Moving on here, and your call could be next. Call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top-shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
Let's go to Mike with Metro Traffic. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Hal. Thanks so much. Listen, I'm going to talk about a major problem being reported right now. It is in Santa Clara County, Highway 9 at Skyline Boulevard. We have a motorcycle and a truck involved in a crash. Major injuries reported, as we told you last time. Both lanes completely shut down by the fire department and CHP at this point. We have a medical helicopter that has landed on scene. In fact, they say they're going to hopefully reopen the road by about 5:30 this afternoon, perhaps even 5:45. So right now we have a medical helicopter taking those injured people to a trauma center. Santa Cruz Mountains, no problems report on Highway 17. Just a quick reminder that in Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at M Line, the off-ramp still shut down for that road construction until the summer of 2008. This report brought to you by the NFL. The 2007 NFL opening kickoff presented by Sprint, featuring performances by John Mellencamp, Faith Hill, Kelly Clarkson. It's the Relive the Colts Championship Moment Thursday, September 6th at 8 p.m. on NBC, brought to you in part by EA Sports. That's traffic on KRXA.
Thanks, Mike, and let's return to the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, getting in touch with our inner goth. That's the cure. What's the disease, huh? I'm Peter B., and we're taking your phone calls. It's the Free Speed Zone at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. About 10 minutes, we'll chat for a few with Bree Walker about the efforts to keep progressive talk on the air in San Diego. Let the rest of the hours devoted to your phone calls, so don't be shy. Give us a call, toll-free, 888-573-8372. Never have to tell this guy, don't be shy. Billy, welcome.
Did you say the call letters were in San Diego were KLSD?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, if those call letters become available, can I have them?
Well, they may. So,
and I don't live in San Diego, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, don't wish for that. It is interesting because when Clear Channel began putting Air America and other progressive talk shows on some of their stations, I found it curious that in San Francisco they called their station The Quake. It was just renamed yesterday. It's now Green 960 KKGN.
Green?
Yeah, they're going.
Oh my.
They're going green.
Oh my.
So that was named after, you know, a natural disaster that's prevalent here. And then KLSD was named after an illegal drug. So I find that curious. I don't know what it means, but curious.
Well, you know, it's part of that curious media that you were talking about. And, you know, you really nailed it because we are being force-fed Hillary. It's not our choice. It's sort of incredible that whether they're conservative or they're liberal, they all want us to take Hillary.
Well, and the right is setting her up as their candidate of choice because they figure that, you know, with a couple of $100 million, they can destroy her. And, you know, it's true. There's enough stuff out there, even if they don't replay the entire Whitewater, Travelgate, and Lewinsky scandals, that Hillary is a polarizing figure. And just since she's been in the United States Senate, she has produced enough of a track record for people to oppose her either from the left or from the right.
You know how they're going to get her? They're going to get they're going to find a campaign a campaign contribution that's hinky, and more than one probably, because that's how she'll get brought down, because they're a little greedy.
Mm-hmm.
A word about the Iraq war.
Yep.
We make a mistake about, we don't do it so much, but all of us have to stop talking about Iraqis. There's no such thing as Iraqis anymore. There's Shias, there's Sunnis, there's this and that, but the people don't see themselves as Iraqis. We can't force them to be that anymore. What do you think?
Well, you make a good point there. I've got a story here. If there's time, I'll work it in before the end of the hour. But the way the U.S. is treating even those who have been very loyal to us in Iraq, you know, we're allowing a maximum of 9,000 visas to be issued in this calendar year. And that's up, actually, from last year. And, you know, it's just a sorry state of affairs about the way the U.S. Invaded that country, has divided people, and those who have chosen to support the occupiers are at great risk, and we don't care about that. Your point is correct, that, you know, Iraq has really split along these sectarian lines, and it's pretty clear that very few citizens perceive themselves as members of the Iraqi nation. They consider themselves a part of an ethnic or religious group first.
Exactly. The fact is that you know, the real politique is what's true today and will be true tomorrow. And Iraq was a nice idea, but it's broken. And these people, that's their choice, how they see themselves. And we are not going to change that. And it doesn't matter whether we take a month or 10 years. 9 or 10 years is now the number, Petraeus.
Yeah, he said a counterinsurgency takes about 10 years.
Well, you know, we're just occupiers. Why don't we declare victory and be honest about the reality on the ground, that we don't belong there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we should, but we don't have the moral courage to face that. We have a president who is desperate to, you know, preserve his mess.
And he has no opposition.
Yep. All right, Billy, thank you. We'll return after the break. If you're on the line, hold on. We'll get to you shortly. And if you're not on the line, you should be. Call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com. Or if you take some exception to one of my remarks, fullofit@peterbcollins.com.
Yeah, I got used. I messed up and abused. You let me down.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. A collapsed mine in Utah continues to have an impact on the community. Jesse Russell reports.
With 6 miners still missing and 5 emergency workers dead, 270 workers are being temporarily laid off in Utah. Mine co-owner Robert Murray broke the news this weekend, saying no lump of coal is ever worth getting hurt. Murray said experts will be looking at his mines to determine if they are safe, but he had no idea how long that would take or if the mines would reopen. The miners are being offered the opportunity to relocate to mines in Illinois or Ohio. Utah's Governor John Huntsman Jr. has called for the federal government to step in and fully inspect Murray's mines. Murray responded by threatening the loss of 700 more jobs if criticism against him doesn't stop.
The union advantage for low-income workers is undeniable, according to a new report from the Center for Economic and Policy Research. The report, Unions and Upward Mobility for Low-Wage Workers, found workers in unions made 16% more money and they were much more likely to have health insurance or a pension plan. On average, the report found, unionization means $1.75 an hour more for low-wage workers. John Schmidt, a senior economist at the Center for Economic and Policy Research, helped to write this report. He says it shows that when workers have a voice at work, they can dramatically increase wages, even in jobs that historically haven't paid very much. The Kentucky Workers' Rights Board is presenting recommendations today to Toyota for improving working conditions at Toyota's Georgetown, Kentucky plant. A group of workers there have asked UAW help in trying to organize a union. The Workers' Rights Board is made up of 70 civic leaders who are concerned about promoting and creating good jobs and fair working conditions for Kentucky workers. Rich hedge fund partners would have to pay the same percentages of taxes on their incomes that teachers, police, firefighters, and factory workers have to pay if a bill under consideration in the U.S. House becomes law. The top 25 hedge fund partners in the U.S. pulled in more than $14 billion in 2006, more than all of the public school teachers in New York. Yet they pay just a fraction of what working people pay on their federal income taxes. They also avoid Social Security taxes on their huge incomes. The loophole they use is to declare much of their income from the partnerships as carried interest. The Levin-Rangel bill would end that loophole. Donating school supplies is just one of many ways that labor unions help out in their communities. For example, in Delaware, the International Longshoremen's Association sponsored an event on Saturday where they gave out school supplies to nearly 300 kids. With school budgets being slashed and parents having to carry an increasing burden as the school year starts, the relief of free backpacks, pens, pencils, paper, and more can be a relief for cash-strapped working families. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hello, this is Jane Fleming with Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery in Monterey, where we bake ridiculously delicious wheat and gluten-free and sugar-free muffins and cakes, plus a gluten-free sandwich bread that toasts and slices just like wheat breads. Everything we bake is all natural with many organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Learn more at beyondwheat.com. That's beyondwheat.com and see how we are changing the way America eats, one ridiculously delicious muffin at a time. Available at Cornucopia and Bruno's Markets Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, Grove Market, PG, Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz, and Star Market, Salinas. Try Beyond Wheat for ridiculously delicious, gluten-free and sugar-free nutritious goodies. Great taste and healthy, too? Life doesn't get much better than that, does it?
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Up next, we go to Sherman in Blue Lake. Hello, Sherman. You're on the air.
Thank you, Peter B. I guess I'm calling up because Newsweek had that big article, I think, last week on finding Osama bin Laden.
Uh-huh.
And I guess my point being that they never really wanted to find him. I think maybe it was Rove or Cheney's point that if you don't have a boogeyman out there to chase after and threaten the American people with you know, red and yellow and orange, then you don't have a cause. And I don't know why Congress never got into this, because they pulled the troops out, gave it to, what, the warlords to go find him? Because it would have ended everything if they'd have just found him. They would have had all these threats and all the rest of it to point at.
Well, you just closed the loop there, Sherman. If we had captured Osama, there would be no basis, even a phony one, for the invasion and occupation of Iraq.
Right, and I think they missed this point. I don't know, maybe it was beat up a while ago and so everybody got sick of it, but even Bush himself said, what, after a year, I don't want to hear his name anymore? I forget how that went. But.
And he said, I don't think about him that often, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And
we always need somebody to chase, and he's still out there. And the same thing was with Zakawi, except they caught him, so then they just had to find somebody else. So.
Well, you make a very good point. And when you think about the Fear Up campaign that occurred just this summer, starting with Michael Chertoff, who said his gut told him.
Right.
And then we had Congressman Boehner, who leaked some classified information to try to persuade people that we weren't tapping enough bloody phone calls,
right.
And then the Democrats caved.
Right.
And they've done this year in and year out, whether it's the liquid bomber plot that has prevented us from carrying little water bottles on airplanes now because we're all a threat.
Right.
to the, if you remember, in 2004, just before the convention that was staged near 9/11 in New York, that the Republicans put financial institutions on an orange or red alert because of unnamed threats.
Right.
And so these boys have cried wolf repeatedly.
Right.
And the Democrats still are snookered by it.
Right.
It,
if I could add one more thing,
just boggles my mind.
The fellows they caught in Florida, I think the total IQ of the group was like 6. And, you know, it made big headlines, and it, like, drops away, and nobody figured out, you know, or really pushed the point that these guys had no ability to do anything.
And, Sherman, don't forget that Florida group that, you know, never got to shoot straight or otherwise.
Right.
It was their FBI informant who said, hey, guys, why don't we take a loyalty oath to Osama bin Laden?
Right.
And now that is, you know, that then is played as a criminal act.
Right. So I hope someday the Democrats, with their investigations, finally get to the bottom of all this stuff and, yeah, as you say, close the loop on all this crap.
Thank you, Sherman.
Thank you, Peter.
Great to hear from you in beautiful Blue Lake, California today. Did you hear that cute little fable that the airwaves belong to us, to the American people? Well, I happen to be a part owner of a great radio station in Monterey, and I'm here to tell you, as somebody who holds an FCC license, that it ain't so. That the people who hold that license have great control. And as it happens in Monterey, Hal Ginsberg and I have the right ideas, and we bring you progressive talk. In San Diego, Clear Channel Communications, the largest radio station group owner in the country, still, even though they've shed about 500 of the 1,200 stations that they previously peaked at, Clear Channel has announced that they may make a format change in San Diego. And the progressive talk outlet there that has carried Air America and other programs for several years now, with some success, is at risk of being converted into a sports outlet, which I understand would be the third or fourth all-sports station in that market. Bree Walker joins us. She's on Air America in Los Angeles and is angling for a national gig. We'll wait to hear the final announcement on that. Bree, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Peter B. I appreciate the time you're taking on this issue, and you're right. It requires a real commitment on the part of individuals who believe in freedom of speech and, you know, fairness and what journalism really used to mean to keep this thing going. And
now,
that is what's scary about what's likely to occur here in San Diego, the sixth largest market in the United States, sixth largest city, I should say.
Volume's a little low there, Bree. If you can punch it up for me, please.
Okay. Is this a little bit better?
That's professional. That's 10 by 10. Thank you.
Sorry. It's been a long day.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I'm probably starting to go down on the other side of the afternoon as the sun gets ready to set here in Southern California. But it's been a pretty day. It's been very, very hot outside.
Yeah.
And we were out there yesterday in this kind of heat at 7:30 in the morning to try to keep KLSD a progressive station, because we've been told starting about Thursday morning that KLSD was going to pull the plug on the progressive format and turn it into what would be the third sports station in San Diego. Now, mind you, that two sports stations in San Diego don't seem to be able to be successful. Mm-hmm. A third, well, you know, it's, you start to wonder, why is this choice being made when there were 500 of us out there yesterday morning in the heat marching?
And not to beat the point to death, but aren't there also Mexican-licensed stations, AM stations, that come into San Diego with American, I mean, English-language sports talk?
Absolutely. Good point.
Extra?
hadn't even occurred to me, but you're right. Yes. So,
I mean, did they do a survey and find out that, you know, San Diego is the sports junkie capital of America?
And truly, you know, it is not. No, the absurdity of this is obvious to everyone, I think. And so the question is it a done deal? And insiders there at the station locally seem to say it is, although if you go to the Clear Channel website, they seem to be saying that this is a local decision, not a San Antonio Clear Channel decision. But nobody wants to take the blame for this.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because I worked for CBS Radio a long time ago when it was a decent company and actually run by the founder, William Paley.
Oh, boy. That's
and
a real journalist.
Yeah, well, it was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, whenever we were told that a decision had been made that nobody locally liked, it was just blamed in a bland and general way on New York. Well, New York says we got to cut the budget. New York says you can't have a raise.
That's right.
New York says you're not funny.
I remember. That's right. And then there was the period of the consultants say.
Oh, yeah.
Now in downsizing years, we don't hear the consultants sing too much anymore. Just no answers, which is what's so frustrating to people who are very dedicated to keeping this progressive station alive. But to that effect, there at least are two websites that are doing yeoman's work on this effort, and one is SaveKLSD.com, SaveKLSD.com, and NonstopRadio.com. The guy who runs NonstopRadio.com, Aldous Tyler, is just a phenomenal.
He's my man, Aldous.
You got it. And he saved in Madison, Wisconsin, the progressive voice. So we
mm-hmm.
are all doing a lot of online petitioning today. As I say, there were several hundred of us out there yesterday. Someone counted close to 500. And, of course, local media covered it as several dozen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we know here in San Diego we're against all odds in getting the truth out. So that's why it's especially important that we keep KLSD alive. And those two places are where you can help us out with nonstopradio.com and saveklsd.com. By the way, aren't they great call letters? I mean, you know, from one old hippie to another, KLSD.
Well, Bree, it's interesting because one of my loyal and lovely callers, Billy Sunshine, checked in, and he was rolling those call letters around over his tongue. And I pointed out that it's curious, and I don't know the answer to this, but Clear Channel named its progressive talk station in San Francisco after the most common natural disaster locally. They just changed it yesterday to Green 960, KKGN.
Okay.
And then in San Diego, they picked KLSD. And that is, you know, I just don't know whether their market research showed that progressives, you know, instantly recognized that set of letters.
I know. It sort of paints us all with a brush that not everybody really wants. And, you know, once again, the truth of the matter is that the signal is so hard. It can get this radio station in San Diego that if you don't have satellite radio, you know, it's a real challenge to listen to it anyway, and
mm-hmm.
that also happens to a lot of the progressive stations. They are marginalized with a bad signal, and you, as a listener who complains, the answer you get is, oh, we're in the process of moving in towers or increasing our signal. We just haven't gotten approval for it, things like that. You never really get a decent answer. So
mm-hmm.
it's an uphill battle.
Yeah.
And I do think that we had a tremendous turnout yesterday. And at the very least, Clear Channel will be well aware that there are lots of people that will continue to protest this if, in fact, they flip the switch and go to sports. I mean, you know, how many times have we heard it said that sports is the easiest format to do because you can pretty much pipe it in from anywhere. And
right.
That, you know, that's obviously what would happen. So this
mm-hmm.
is also about getting rid of more people who work and think and critical thinkers on the radio, so we have to fight for it.
Yeah. Well, Bree, I want to thank you for being out there and championing this cause, and I want to direct people again to SaveKLSD.com and NonstopRadio.com. That's where you can support this effort, and we'll do everything we can to try to keep progressive voices on the air in the important seaport of San Diego.
Absolutely. So I appreciate it, and, you know, I don't know where I'm going to have to move somewhere else if I can't get my radio here. I mean, and not everybody can afford satellite radio, so
yeah.
What's up with that, you know?
Thank you, Bree.
Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, great to talk with you. That's
great to talk with you again, as always.
Bree Walker from KTLK in Los Angeles. And let's see, we go back to our callers, and on line three, it's not Walt. Walt, you can call back. It's Marianne in Arcata. Hello, Marianne.
Oh, yes. Hello, Peter B. I just want to start out quickly before I talk about Senator Clinton, and that is that I hope that on September 17th, Alberto Gonzalez will recall that on Monday, August 27th, he did tender his resignation as Attorney General of the United States.
Yeah, he's got that amnesia problem, doesn't he?
No.
Oh, I love your sense of humor.
So anyway, yeah, Hillary, I mean, she is a celebrity, and my goodness. Anyway, back in May, I got a letter from her campaign manager,
mm-hmm.
Patty Solis Doyle, with a whole bunch of stuff why we should vote for Hillary. And so I wrote back and said that it just saddens me that all those millions of dollars go that they have amassed so far, the candidates, will be spent on campaign literature, TV and radio ads. They only speak in generalities, and they don't specify how they're going to fix whatever has been done wrong, all the wrongdoings of this administration. And, for instance, she says that she's engaging people all across America in a conversation about how to reduce the deficits that threaten Social Security and Medicare. And I say, well, the Social Security is doing just fine. And the Treasury, in order to balance the U.S. budget, back in September of 06, they borrowed $177 billion. That's
mm-hmm.
billion with a B.
You're right.
Of Social Security, and another $121 billion from the Federal Employee Pension Funds. And so they just reduced the budget deficit in one click with all that money.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in Newsweek, as a matter of fact, in September last year.
And Marianne, you remember it started on Saturday Night Live as a joke, but back in 2000, Al Gore was reduced to, you know, a caricature because he said he wanted to put the Social Security money in a lockbox.
Oh, yeah.
And that became a laugh line. But when you look at the amount of borrowing that has occurred from the trust fund since 2000, the conversion of Bill Clinton's surplus to George Bush's deficits, the financing of this endless war, using these borrowed funds, either from the Social Security Trust Fund or from taxpayers in a deficit mode. These are all things that didn't have to occur the way they did. And if we had heeded Al Gore's advice and kept Social Security locked out from the general fund, it would be healthy and perhaps only need some minor modifications in about 20 years to maintain solvency through my lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just tragic that most of that has been lost, and, you know, nobody, I'm hearing myself, and that's the first time I've heard somebody talk about Al Gore's plan back in 2000.
Well, right, these are facts. They don't come out.
Yeah.
I don't know why they just talk, all of them talk in generalities, and that's not going to help us, so we got to start speaking up. Yeah, really.
All right, Marianne, thanks for the call today. I appreciate it. And for Marianne, here's a little music for Alberto Gonzalez.
Doggone thing.
Let's remind him on the 17th of September. You promised to go, Alberto. I've got lines available for the rest of the show. Give me a call. Let me know what's on your mind. Toll free, 888-5, Peter B. 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs, and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Sober Stones. Get yours now. Big Sur Jade Stones are found only in a small cove off the coast of Big Sur. Rare and priceless. Used for healing by the Native Indians for thousands of years. Keep it in your pocket to remind you of your sobriety. Call 521-7917 for yours now. 521-7917. Only $15 includes shipping and handling. A deep green mesmerizing jade stone. Sober Stone. Call now. 521-7917.
And let's go to Mike of Metro Traffic. Hey, Mike.
Hey there, busy. Days Inn Hotel nearby, where the sun smiles and value will warm your heart. Book now.
Thanks
at
a lot, Mike. I'm going to return now to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show. There's room for your call right now. The switchboard is blank, and I've got a few minutes left in the program, so feel free to give us a call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I just dropped into the website, saveklsd.com, and the homepage is mostly about the rally that was held on Monday, but there are some links here to some of the other sites where you can check in. There's an email group that's been formed over at Yahoo with a lengthy link that I won't read to you, but you can find it here at saveklsd.com. And that certainly is a worthy effort. One other thing I referred to in passing a few minutes back is the plight of refugees from Iraq. And this is an issue that we've talked about on this program, and I want to credit Dar Jamail, the independent journalist who's been to Iraq many times and has spoken forcefully about the issues. Now more than 4 million Iraqis have been displaced, about half of those inside the country, the other half have left the country, and some people suspect the numbers are much higher. But we have a very ugly situation where the U.S. is not permitting people to emigrate from Iraq to the United States and is setting up red tape and bureaucratic hurdles to make it even more difficult. And what's even more infuriating is that some of these people are at risk of being killed by one or more of the factions in Iraq because they have supported the U.S. occupation in one form or another. And the story here is, I'm trying to figure out where we got this. It's from the New York Times. Thank you. And Brian found this story. At any rate, the United Nations, which defines a refugee as someone who has fled his or her home country, has submitted more than 9,000 Iraqis to the United States for consideration since the State Department announced a new resettlement program this past February. But only about 5% of the applicants are former employees of the American war effort. And this year, for the first time, administration officials have begun publicly discussing the special dangers faced by Iraqis working for the Americans and acknowledging the need to grant them safe haven in the United States. And we currently have about 125 employees at the American Embassy in Baghdad, about 500 interpreters, and some people have argued that they deserve a fast-track status to visas for the United States. And when you put this into context with the large five waves of immigrants that we accepted from Vietnam during and after our war there, I think it's a no-brainer that we really should be extending much more generous terms to people who would like to leave Iraq, particularly those who have perhaps tainted themselves by supporting the U.S. occupation. Ellen in Eureka, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for your call.
Hi, Peter B. I really enjoy your show, and I'm just tuning in late today, but to change the subject in the last couple of minutes,
sure.
Has anybody come up with the idea of Comey as Attorney General? Because he made such a good impression in front of the Senate.
He has been mentioned as one of the possibilities. The New York Times has a list of people here today, including Chertoff, Chris Cox, who used to be a congressman.
Now, I've heard all those names. Not that this administration is particularly interested in healing,
mm-hmm.
but I would think that he would be a very healing name because he seemed to be someone who was impressive to both sides when he was giving his testimony.
Well, I have to say that I have some respect for him. I just have concerns that he did play ball. And, you know, it's fair to say that he brought us information that he could have kept quiet, particularly
yeah.
about the Ashcroft hospital visit.
Yeah.
And he did, at least from what we know about that episode, Comey acquitted himself fairly well there.
Yeah.
But what we don't know is he threatened to resign, and so did the FBI director Mueller. And
right.
they did not resign. And I want to know what kind of deals were made that mollified them over their concerns about the unconstitutionality of the NSA program, and, you know, why, in fact, didn't they resign? What did Bush do that changed things that persuaded them that he was not breaking the law, he was only skirting the law?
Yeah.
Well, that's a kind of a rationalization that, at least on the face of it, I need to hear a lot more about before I could be comfortable with Comey
okay.
as the official head of the department.
Well, I was just, you know, as an alternative to Chertoff, he looks really good to me. So I was just, I'm not expecting to get anybody I would really want to be attorney general. So I thought of all the people that I don't want, maybe he's the least bad of the people that might be selected. So it was
well, you know, there are a lot of fine, fine graduates of Regent University in Lynchburg, Virginia. And I'm sure that they're reviewing
oh, yeah.
resumes from the right-wing evangelical law school as
Absolutely.
We speak.
Absolutely. No, obviously those guys have top track.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, Ellen, good to hear from you today. Appreciate the call. I want to thank everybody who tuned in, everybody who called in, all of our guests who joined us on the program today. That's what makes it the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to be back at you tomorrow, same time, same station, with another edition, and I hope you'll tune in then. And in the meantime, if you care to, visit peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, and expensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for a great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor.
I am not gay. I never have been gay.
Idaho Senator Larry Craig protesting plenty today. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson.
Late this afternoon in his home state of Idaho with his wife of 24 years by his side, Senator Larry Craig did a 180, recanting his guilty plea in a lewd conduct arrest.
While I was not involved in any inappropriate conduct at the Minneapolis airport or anywhere else, I chose to plead guilty to a lesser charge in hopes of making it go away.
Political analyst Stu Rothenberg on the big picture perspective.
This adds to the buzz about Republicans and what the Republicans believe and are Republicans hypocrites.
GOP leaders are calling for an ethics committee investigation. The rich are getting richer, but the poor are not getting poorer. CBS's Sam Litzinger.
The Census Bureau says 35.5 million Americans were living in poverty last year. That may sound surprisingly large, but it's actually an improvement over 2005. This is the first major decline in the number of poor people since President Bush took office. Why the reduction in the number of poor? A low unemployment rate was a big factor. More people found jobs. One other new stat to consider, the number of people without health insurance has increased to 47 million.
2 years ago, we were watching Hurricane Katrina as it approached New Orleans and then ripped it up. Since then, crime there is rampant.
The latest crime statistics out of New Orleans?
They're not good. They're not good.
Some of the problems they've been facing over the past 2 years?
Insufficient bed space in a prison. No courtrooms for a while.
Police Superintendent Warren Riley, the National Guard still patrols some streets, but even with much of the population still away, murders are up 14%. And the city's on track to lead the nation in killings per capita again this year. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, New Orleans.
Tonight, a CBS News poll finds almost 6 in 10 Americans still have a fair or even great amount of confidence in the federal government's ability to respond to a national disaster. A legendary blues man is hospitalized.
Bo Diddley has had a heart attack, and doctors say he's in stable condition at a hospital in Gainesville, Florida, but it is very serious. He spent the weekend in ICU. The blues man, who made his first electric guitar with a box and a TV dial, was at the doctor's office for a routine checkup when he became dizzy and nauseous. Bo Diddley is 78.